Good evening, brothers and sisters of the Leaf. Coming to you live from the front of the line at the Sudsy and Topless Sunshine Car Wash, it's the Tuesday Night Cigar Club Podcast. Tonight, the boys get out their thinking caps, and their drinking caps, and their perky little peckers, as they dig in and analyze the flesh-tastic double feature of 1991's Bikini Summer and 1992's The Bikini Car Wash Company. The crew will be lighting up the good-looking Eastern Standard Cream Crush cigar from Caldwell Cigar Company, courtesy of Famous Smoke Shop, and pairing it with the seasonal Summer Shandy from Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company. Sounds like the boys are going to have more fun tonight than a heavily mulleted buff volleyball stud hitting the California beaches with one thing on his mind, and it certainly ain't volleyballs. Spoiler alert, it's tits and ass. The buff stud is on the prowl for tits and ass. That's right, folks. It's our second annual summer TNA celebration episode. So put on your nose block, sit back with your feet in the sand, light them up, and enjoy the show.
So how's everybody's 4th of July?
Good.
Good.
I survived.
Patriotic.
Yours was patriotic?
Mine was patriotic.
Did you go buy a mattress? Isn't that what people do on...
Those are some pretty patriotic commercials, every one of them.
They go buy mattresses, I think. You went to some...
We had a couple of engagements. A realtor friend of ours invited us over to watch the fireplace. They have fireworks. They have a real cool... Cool deal.
Over to watch their fireplace.
That would have been interesting.
Exactly.
Went over to watch their fireplace. It's a new trend amongst the urban elite.
No, my favorite part is we went to a pool party before it, which was, hot as balls. And so I was kind of like, I don't know about this. We get there.
At some age, don't people stop doing pool parties?
No, I actually like them, but not when it's just so super hot. And I know that, there's going to be women there. I'm not going to take my shirt off and let them all see this for free.
Are you a t-shirt swimmer?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is at some age, people should stop having pool parties.
I just never heard of one with, just for adults.
Well, not these people, because this, one of the friends, his group of friends he met from, CrossFit. So they're all, 10 years younger. And all just like...
All they talk about is deadlifts and...
But they look like Adonis. I mean, I've never seen so many freaking chiseled abs. And that was the women. It was just amazing to where I was just like... Ugh.
You have little arm floaties on?
Oh, good Lord.
You have a little duck in her tube.
I come out there because they said, bring your own meats for the grill. So I carefully crafted my hamburger patties at the house. I got them nice and prepped. Get there, and it's nothing but lean chicken and vegetable kebabs. And I unveil these hamburgers, and the dude working on the grill, who was 240 and just cut.
Kate style.
He was like, wow, those are the biggest hamburger patties I've ever seen. Are those loaded? And I just was like, yeah, with flavor and cholesterol, but mostly flavor. And it's just like, wow, man, I can't believe you're going to eat all that? And I was like, yeah, that second one's for my wife.
Did they specify to bring meats for the grill, or did you say bring your own meats?
No, that was the July 4th party I went to.
It was fun. They're
kind of like to hear about it.
I joke around, but they're nice group of people. They really are.
Did you ask them what the deal is with those big ropes that they're always?
No. But the funniest thing was that there was this little.
Was there a big tire that they took turns flipping around?
No, but there was this 95-pound girl with just abs and shoulders and leg muscle, and she's sawing away on a piece of bread, and she was like, well, I guess I should have heated this up, and I nearly spit my beer out when the dude working the grill was like, do you know how many carbs is in that?
I would have hated that shindig.
That just sounds awful.
Oh, it made me crack up left and right.
But you celebrated our independence. That was in the forefront of your mind, what the day was all about. Something like that.
I watched the American Revolution on the History Channel that night.
That'll work.
That counts for something, right?
Yeah. Joe, did you guys have an American-centric band play at the pub?
No.
Did you have a Neil Diamond impersonator come up and do America?
No.
How disappointing.
Did you have America-flavored beer?
All beer is America-flavored.
Tastes like hard work.
Really.
And
did you have the beer
fat
America?
No, that's just Bud.
Welfare, the ale.
No. They changed their name. It's America. I saw it on TV.
No, it's called Foreign Corporation.
Well, before we
don't
get
be
our,
fooled.
Before we get ourselves in any trouble here, God bless America. I hope everyone listening had a safe.
I was about to say, you got to be careful because you know the chick from the Big Bang Theory, Kelly Cuoco or whatever her name is.
Okay.
She posted up an Instagram. Don't ask me why I know this. She posted up an Instagram photo of her and her boyfriend, and they're all just decked out in American flag. Apparel.
I thought you were going to say she posted something up about the
no,
Tuesday
it was
cigar
it was
like,
just
hey, Kelly Coco Puffs is a fan of
the fuck what she wears.
It was just her kissing her boyfriend in American apparel. I mean, and people were like, "How dare you offend America? You're wearing the flag as clothes." And I was like, "What is this 1960 again?"
Were they actually wearing a flag or just
no? It was just shirts.
As if some people don't wear a shirt with a flag on it. Well. It doesn't make any... Never
mind. I'm pretty sure they got in trouble because their dogs were sitting on the flag.
No, they were not shitting on the flag.
No, not shitting, sitting.
The dogs weren't sitting on the... Were they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that... You're getting your stories confused.
I was very confused. I was wondering...
Turns
why
out they were doing it doggy style on the flag.
I was going to say, if making love on an American flag is wrong...
Don't want to be right.
Do it bastard. For the country.
He did Travis Tritt on an American flag years ago. I've seen the pictures.
It's more like Travis Tritt did me. Oh, yeah, it's just like,
where does Tut's hair start and Tritt's hair end?
And on that note.
Welcome, everybody.
It's America!
What a weird intro. welcome, everybody. Tuesday Night Cigar Club, episode 34. Lucky number 34.
I think it's 34.
34 is lucky?
Walter Payton's number.
That's right, sweetness.
Sweetness, baby. It's gonna be luck. It's got to be lucky.
So our career is going to be cut short, and you know
we're gonna be dead.
We'll never
the age
score.
Of 40.
We'll never score in the big one.
Well, we kind of all knew that, didn't we?
Do you think it bothered him he didn't score in the big one?
I think it absolutely
I've heard,
did.
I've
man.
Heard conflicted
I think
stories.
It, I think it absolutely did. I think he's publicly he's always going to say no. It's,
well, he's not going
to
say
it's
anything.
It's about the team. But yeah, it had to. It had to.
I heard that deep down it did bother.
You're going to give Fridge
is
a fucking
score,
yeah.
Anyway, still one of the biggest class acts in the history.
I agree. That's the reason why it's named the
Walter
Payton
Award. I'm
going to
say the history of the NFL because I always hate on TV and radio when they say the National Football League. Just say the NFL. Listen, if I learn one thing about the National Football, just say the NFL.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like in their contract? Like you got to say...
It might be.
For branding reasons.
Yeah, very might
we
very
want
well
people
might
to say
be.
National Football League.
I just want one of them to fuck up once and go, if I've learned one thing about the Canadian Football League.
Mike Tirico's found dead in a creek the next day. Two shots to the back of the head. Goodell style.
Clinton style. What?
Spray painted on the brick wall above him. Here's your Argonauts, motherfucker.
Man, CrossFit, Mike Tirico references were all over the place here.
Coming out with a bang.
Which is funny because none of them have anything to do with tonight's... Ladies and gents, tonight is our big summer episode. I don't think we did one last summer. I think the reason was we were still doing shows at the pub.
Yes.
And it was so cool and nice.
Yeah.
And you know, we didn't really feel the effects so much there.
We didn't have this oppressive heat just
now that we're in this underground bunker called the Corner of No Hope, 30 leagues under the sea, last time I measured. It's a little different story. We're feeling it, man. It's God, just crazy, fucking nuts hot.
It's going to be that way for the next couple of months.
I know.
How does one measure a league?
Exactly.
Dynamite drop in.
Don't call him the greatest scientist in the world for nothing, folks.
Doctor, kicking off, we couldn't have a summer episode without you. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It's been a couple shows.
Thank you very much, Jan. It's good to be here.
We missed you dearly.
Likewise.
There's going to be a lot of scientific analysis needed for tonight's films.
Rest assured that the doctor has come well prepared.
Breast assured?
Breast assured.
Exactly. Other than, you know, it being just balls hot, it is summertime. And I really, really wanted to do a everything summer. And what at the end of the last episode, The Running Man, I remember we were all just so dejected. And you mentioned, like, we've never ended a show on such a just a low note. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I was like, we're just doing titty movies next time. And you guys' eyes both lit up. Just, okay, sure. Let's do it, Cade. So we're having a double feature for you tonight.
Because there's two of them?
Two and two.
All right. I didn't realize you guys were so sad after the last podcast. I hadn't been kept abreast of things.
Well, let's just nip that in the butt. This Running Man was a good episode. We had fun, but there was we interviewed.
Yeah, but it really wasn't anything to hoot and holler about.
We had interviewed earlier in that show the president of the CRA, and he didn't really do much to boost our. Our positive vibes about the cigar industry, and then, but it was a good show.
What did CIA have to do with anything?
Can you believe the CIA came
good
on?
Good lord!
You know, Central Intelligence Agency. They want us to say the full name. You can't just say CIA.
If I've learned one thing, Matt, in my dealings with the Central Intelligence Agency,
that photos really don't lie, and they collect all of them.
I think with all this FDA nonsense and all this other bullshit, we need. To recharge our Tuesday night batteries, and you know the best way to do that is with some good old TNA flicks. Now these are very different flicks we're doing tonight than we've done in the past. Believe it or not, there's a big barrier between the hot dogs and up the creeks and the subset of that genre that we're going to be doing tonight. Hopefully,
I think I'm going to disagree. At least with one offer.
Okay. So we've just got a boobtastic double feature for you tonight. We are tonight going to do a cigar. I wanted to do a lighter cigar, a summer cigar, something I equate more with on a hot day. You're not going to put a big oily Brazilian wrapped monster, you know, you're going to go with something lighter.
What are you talking about?
Hey, you never said what you did on the 4th.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about that.
So tonight we're going to be doing the Eastern Standard Cream Crush.
The Eastern Standard Cream Crush.
The line is Eastern Standard, the Churchill Vitola that we're doing tonight, I think it's called the Cream Crush. From Caldwell Cigar Company, we had the pleasure of sitting down with Robert Caldwell at Cats Fest 4. We had done his
Long Live the King Lancero.
Long Live the King Lancero a while back. Weren't crazy about it. But I did walk away from not just the interview with Robert, but mainly he and I ended up shooting the shit for a long stretch after the microphones were turned off. I wish they were left on because that was actually...
I really wanted to.
That was really... we got into some really good stuff, but I like the guy, and I like where he's coming from, and I liked his passion about what he does.
Yeah, he was very, very passionate.
And I walked away with some respect for Robert, and so when I started thinking about doing an interesting Connecticut, this popped into my head, and I asked our friends at Famous Smoke Shop if they'd be willing to float us a fiver for the show, and as always, they're very courteous, and they hooked us up.
Famous-smoke.com.
Famous-smoke.com. Thank you, Famous Smoke Shop. If the cigar features what's called a hybrid Connecticut shade wrapper, the Caldwell calls a dark Connecticut, and it does a little darker shade of brown than most Connecticuts. So it makes for a mild offering, but medium on the strength, supposedly.
Okay.
The wrapper, these are some crazy names here, so you guys always get a kick out of me. The wrapper is a Connecticut hybrid Ecuadoriano.
No, the Ecuadoriano.
The binder is Habana Dominicano. These are made in the Dominican Republic, by the way. Filler, Criollo 1998 Viso Dominicano. With Corollo Dominicano Ligero and Habano Seco Nicaragua Nisa. Say that fast, five
I'm times. Trying to decide if
can you I get a bowl of queso with that.
I'm trying to decide if you slipping into the Spanish accent is offensive or not. Are we in trouble for that?
I didn't try to. That just happened.
Okay.
You see that many little things over the tildes, you just go crazy. When I first opened up the case showing them, Todd, you seemed pretty impressed off the bat.
Oh, it was beautiful.
The look of the cigar.
Yeah, they look nice.
It's got a really tight pigtail cap. It's so tight, I don't think I'm going to be able to. Some pigtails you can just kind of twist off and not have to cut the cigar, but I think I'm going to actually have to give it a snip with the scissors here. Let's see what our second offering from Caldwell is gonna do for us here.
It's got nice sweetness on the cold draw.
Let me clip it here. In keeping with my idea of just a little bit
of spice there,
summertastic episode, we wanted to do a summer beer, something you can just chug ad nauseum that refreshes and cools you down. And I see a lot of this beer, from the beer folks on Instagram. We're connected with lunch. I'll admit, I've never had one. I don't even know how to say it. How do you say this?
Leinenkugel's.
Leinenkugel. Leinenkugel. Yakboy, tell us all about the Leinenkugel.
Leinenkugel is actually the brewery known as the Jacob Leinenkugel Brewery. Actually, an older brewery, started in 1867 by Jacob Leinenkugel and another man by the name of John Miller.
So it's been around a while.
It has been around a while. When Prohibition came in, they stopped obviously producing beer, started producing like a near beer.
Yeah.
Called it Lino.
Yeah.
And then various types of sodas. And they persisted on that until they were able to produce beer again. Really started that, really going back into it in the 70s when they opened back up the brewing.
Yeah.
So
it's weird how they've been around for a long time, apparently, but I thought this was a new offering.
Yeah.
It's only been popular here in Texas for, at least, 2 years? No, about 3 years.
Yeah, three years, I'd say.
Is this something you guys carry at the pub?
Yes.
Consistently throughout the summer?
We have it, we'll grab a keg or two.
Yeah, I've seen it on a couple of different occasions.
What makes a beer shandy?
Shandy is really typically a beer mixed with fruit flavor. It can be soda, it can be lemonade.
So this is a Budweiser with me taking that lemon squeezy thing from the grocery store.
Tell Tut why this is not a Budweiser with squeezy lemon stuff. Is it infused with real lemon flavor?
Yeah.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. Is the beer itself similar to a domestic? Is there anything special about the root, the beer that, it's very, the viscosity,
viscous?
It definitely has a lemonade taste.
I can't totally see the doctor through my glass.
It tastes like lemonade.
I can't see my finger through my glass.
It might be insulting to the lemonade.
It's a Weiss beer.
Sorry.
It's a wheat beer.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
So this isn't a typical...
So it's nothing like it's nothing like a Budweiser with lemon.
Correct. No, no.
This is a wheat beer, white beer, and it is they add lemon to give it that
lemon taste.
Well, I'd say lemon taste, but I don't want to call it lemonade.
I will.
But it is very fruity on that aspect.
Well, I'm not a big fan of fruit beers, but my first few sips, it's very refreshing. I don't know if it's because I'm just hot or what, but I'm not turned off by it, certainly. I'd be curious how it goes with air. I see this guy making weird faces.
Okay. Well,
should be a fun night. I should mention I'm lighting up the Caldwell cigar with Robert Caldwell's actual lighter.
I thought I recognized that.
He left it...
he's been looking for it ever since he left.
No, he left it on our table, and he had to leave early, Cat's Best, and when we went looking for him, we couldn't find him. So if Robert's listening, I'd be glad to return it for a small finder's fee. Seems only fair. And you guys have any initial thoughts? I'm just now lighting up the cigar.
Yeah, I'm just now lighting it up. It had a wonderful spice on the cold draw. It had a sweetness to it that was really neat.
I also would like to mention while we let these things burn for a second. I realize the episodes have been a little scattershot lately. We're still kind of adjusting to a few changes. That will iron itself out. We'll get back on our bi-weekly schedule here soon. But in the meantime, the Doctor has been cranking out some fantastic film reviews on the site.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for stepping up to fill the void. And, man, feedback's been good. And
I was about to say, actually getting some good feedback on those articles. Makes me want to go see Hush.
It's unlike any of the medical papers I've actually written.
I notice a lot of the positive comments are coming from, like, Mrs. Doctor and T period Doctor, T-H-A.
That's Tony Doctor, my cousin.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. For a minute there, I thought you were just staying up at night writing positive things about your own work.
Well, as long as you only thought that for a minute.
That'd be crazy.
Oh, you thought it was the Doctor? There is no Tony Doctor. I made that up. Yeah, Hush was actually quite a good film. Definitely recommend checking
and
that out.
And I really want to see The Shallows. And your review painted a...
Definitely recommend that as well.
A good mental image of everything that I think will frighten me about The Shallows.
I believe there's another shark movie being released theatrically in August. Something called, ironically enough, I think it's called The Deep. The opposite of The Shallows. Have you heard anything about that?
No. Is it a sequel?
Or In the Deep or something?
No.
It would have been cool if it was a sequel.
It's something like two... It's also a couple young ladies, but they're trapped in a shark cage and they're running out of oxygen.
Yeah. That's
or perhaps
cool.
I just imagine the entire...
You know what? You go out there in a shark cage, you deserve to get eaten.
Agreed.
Just fucking around with stuff you have no business to. All right, well, you know what? Let me talk a little bit about the movie. I'll come back to the cigars. I think it's way too soon to tell me. So we're the summer shandy. You just don't care for the taste of it.
Yeah, I'm not that big on it.
Probably should have consulted with you before I.
Why? That's cool thing about beer. You find one you don't like, move on. There's too many beers to be all poo poo about it.
I've seen
that's
this.
True. That is true.
Well, like I said, you only need to drink six or seven of them, and you'll never have to go back to down this road again.
No, the perfect thing about this beer is the only times I've ever had it, it's been just butt ass hot, and it is quite refreshing. It's not very filling. Well, after you're about fifth or sixth one, you kind of start feeling it, but it's just a nice, refreshing beer with a horrible taste.
See, I'm surprised because I usually don't like stuff that heavily infused with fruits and but
I was about to say this is like everything you're against. It's
I know,
fruity,
but
it's almost like a wheat. It's more limes a lot. It's got that color
it's
of kinda a
like
wheat.
It's kind of like the Don de Dieu, but
yeah, exactly.
But I'm liking it, and I think it's given a little something to the cigar because the cigar is very mild.
Yeah,
it's got like a real kind of cool cedar taste going. But every time I take a sip of the beer with the lemon, and they're, I don't know, to me they're playing kind of nice to with each other so far, but we'll get back to that. Our first movie tonight, when you think of summer, boys, what do you think about?
Hot. I gotta mow the lawn.
When you were younger,
kids are out.
When you were younger, what did you used to think about? When, summertime.
It's hot. I gotta mow the lawn.
It's gonna be one of those.
Just somebody say bikini.
I used to think about hot chicks in bikinis at the swimming pool.
It's called this community pool.
Bikinis, boys. Bikinis.
Specifically, what was inside them?
We didn't have.
And
we didn't have
your imagination to.
Yeah, we didn't have a beach. We had a lake, and it was all about girls in bikinis at the lake.
Well, both of our movies are very bikini centric. Maybe the two most bikini-centric movies in the history of cinema. The first one being 1991's Bikini Summer. Written and directed by the late Robert Veazey. Only thing he ever did.
Imagine that. I can totally see why.
These films, and we'll get into this a little bit, but I think we have some differing opinions here. We've done our share of TNA, you know, raunchy comedies. hot dog up the creek and all that. I definitely think tonight's films are in a different subset of those films. For, you know, one big
those films actually had people that were seen and heard from again.
I was going to say those films featured actors.
And filmmakers.
But you know,
I don't know. I was quite impressed with the actors in the second one.
I think that's the actresses, especially the performers.
That's probably the more accurate word.
They're performers. And they said lines.
Yes.
Well, we opened Bikini Summer with a beach montage set to the Bikini Summer theme song.
I like that. They said lines. There was a script and everything.
performed by the one and only Lois Greco. Doctor, do you remember how the Bikini Summer song went?
I'm not exactly sure. Let's see. Memory fails me. Bikini Summer, where the days are never tame. Bikini Summer, it's calling out your name. Something like that.
Haunting as always.
A little off key.
Haunting as always. Hey, we'll get
there. It is nothing if not haunting.
A little couple more shandies, you'll be...
I'm just impressed you knew it.
Hey,
it's actually not
You're
much
professional.
Of, it's actually not much of a beach montage. It's mainly just extreme close-ups of bikinis.
Pretty much. It meets all of the requirements of showing bikinis.
Some splashing feet in the water. Cameraman pans
can you
up.
Shoot yourself at a beach or a pool or just
you can't tell where it is because it's just literally just one after another. Just
extreme close-up.
There's zoom-ins on bikinis riding up chicks' butt cheeks, chicks rubbing suntan oil between their boobs.
Is that what that was? Suntan oil?
something. I've never actually seen chicks do that in real life. So I'm
glad to see, for one, that those ladies are into proper skin health.
And then, exactly. Some chicks during this montage, they pop out of the pool, and they don't have bikinis on at all. They just said, fuck Bikini Summer. It's just summertime. but man, it's just all you. There's a good couple minutes there where it's just
somewhere the producer's going, "Damn it, who's supposed to? Who did we hire for consistency on this? The chick doesn't have her bikini top on."
Well, there's naked women playfully splashing each other, while other buxom bikini-clad babes make out with dudes or play volleyball. Lots of volleyball going on.
Of course,
there's string bikinis. There's monokinis.
Yeah.
There's otherwise those are known as unikinis.
Unikinis.
I researched for the show. You know.
I'd never heard of a monokini or a unikini.
You're a unikini.
Take that.
Well, that's just when that's where they just wear the lower part of the bikini and go topless. It's a unikini.
It's just called topless.
Yeah, but you still got to call the bottom something. Hey, baby, take off that unikini.
An obstacle.
Bikini bottoms.
Well, if you skip ahead a few years, there was part three, Unikini Summer. But that was only released in Southeast Asia.
Paraguay.
For reasons I think we all can...
So what do you call the one that's like, instead of two pieces, it's one piece with like this little strand that goes right over the nipples and that's it?
I think that was the... Yak Boy, you know this.
Monokini?
That's a microkini.
Microkini, okay.
I just wondered, when you draw those lines up your side, you made it the tunnel
kini. No, those might be the sling bikinis.
The sling bikinis?
Yeah, right. There's micro bikinis, there's sling bikinis, and those are both different than the unikinis and the microkinis.
I just, next time I'm hanging out with the CrossFit people, I just want my terminology to be correct.
Yeah.
I'm older, so I have to come correct, otherwise
they're
going to
laugh at
me.
Thank God you didn't wear your sling bikini to this thing.
thank God I didn't.
Man, I've never seen a hamburger like that. Look, I've been working a lot, all right? I haven't had time to flip tires and
shake the ropes.
Run stairs. Anyway, you really get a feeling in your spirit and in your underpants that this thing is going to be a bikini summer. Like, we're going to see a lot of bikinis in the next, 80-something minutes. We then cut to old Mr. and Mrs. Patterson as they give last-minute detailed home improvement instructions to Chester and his motley crew of male and female buddies. It's like a group of late 20s, 30-somethings that how they became friends. They're all very different from one another, and they're in these old people's house, and the old people are going on vacation and trusting these losers to completely redecorate the house by the time they get back from, where are they going, Greenland or North?
Yes, Greenland.
Greenland.
I think Chester's loafers with no socks is what sold him on that he was a responsible young man.
Exactly.
I see that. Well, we've seen enough of these 80s movies to know that these guys are going to, they have a house on the beach.
This kicks it up a notch. This is very early 90s, and man, could you tell.
Oh, the hair.
The wardrobes.
The wardrobe. Lots of pastels, lots of pinks and baby blues, lots of hairspray.
Mullet City.
Oh, lots of mullets. Lots of mullets. It was very 90210-ish.
Very early 90210-ish, yes. Very first year of 90210.
But we see enough of these movies and experience these same kind of scenarios ourselves to know that, you know, shenanigans are going to go down. That's going to be their priority other than fixing up this damn house. But in case there's any question of what these guys were going to be up to, as soon as the Pattersons stepped out the front door, we go back inside. Where immediately, like 5 seconds have passed, and Chester's best friend, Mad Dog, sitting on the couch, is already covered in a sea of beer cans. And there's like Jack Daniels bottle. Like, the minute they left, somehow he consumed like 20 gallons of booze. Mad Dog's an interesting character. Speaking of mullets, heavily mulleted, big dude.
He had a nice, kind of almost a perm mullet.
He had like that Texas wrestling circuit.
See, I was thinking of there's that one bodybuilder that the chick meets on the beach. He had a mullet because his was definitely the party in the back. I mean, Mad Dog's is more of a kind of late 80s, early 90s metal band.
Yeah, it's like a Michael Anthony kind of deal.
Kind of like a, yeah.
Well, he's surrounded by beer cans and booze bottles. And as we're going through Chet's friends real quick, we're also introduced to Renee. A cute blonde, but she wears glasses and has a sewing machine, so you know
that's
she's...
That's how you know she's nerdy. Right. She's got glasses.
She has those glasses.
And her hair's pulled back.
She's different than the other girls in Chet's life. You know that because she says it. You have Richard, the glasses, vest-wearing environmentalist, who's always concerned about the beach and the whales.
And you know he's a nerd because he's got the nose cream.
He's got the nose cream
and
on.
And vest being
the total style.
Vest being the early 90s.
Did you have that on at the party?
No, I did not have nose cream and a mono king.
Yeah, I bet there's pictures on Facebook somewhere. Tuttle trying to flip one of those big tires with his nose cream on. Little safari hat. There's also Jazz, the bass playing blonde female rocker. Boy, these movies always had that female bass player, didn't they?
I was about to say, like, every 80s, they had the chick rocker.
Yeah, and then Cheryl, an often topless and top-heavy blonde who's really into suntanning. That's, like, her big hobby. Before that, real quick, we're all enough into this. How are you guys liking the cigar?
It's a little on the mild side for me. I can taste the cedar out of it. So
I need a little spice on the retrohale, mainly just that real nice cedar.
Yeah.
It is mild.
Yeah.
It's definitely mild, but I'm enjoying it.
Nah.
As far as a summer, you know, summer cigar, I'm digging it. What do you think, man?
Yeah, it's... I'm one who always says I like mild, but this is very mild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's light. Which, you know, I mean, I can see that working, you know, summertime, taut.
Pairs, cigar. Pairs good with a glass of lemonade.
But yeah, what are you liking the beer?
Huh?
I know you're kind of hit or miss with these kind of beers. Do you like enjoying it?
I'm anti any kind of fruit flavored beer. Okay. So
again,
I mean,
I really should have consulted.
I've never had it before. I'm all about trying something new. But like Todd said, if you don't like it, there's the world's full of beers. You move on.
This isn't like the my father's root beer catastrophe that we had.
That was too.
Where you couldn't even get it down.
Yeah.
This is a. I don't really have a problem with the taste. It tastes like lemonade to me.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to worry about getting shingles anytime soon.
Got plenty of vitamin C in it, does it?
I imagine. Getting cold sores as we speak.
And I will say that I don't know if it's because I don't like the beer that much, but I do think that it detracts from this cigar. But that could be like my bias against the beer.
Construction on the cigar is really good. Straight burn line, good draw. It's a really good looking smoke. Right now, it's just very, very mild. So I'll come back to it.
Yeah, it's still got that little, like I said, it's got a little cedar flavor. It's got a little bit of spice kicking in there.
Which I think pretty much off the bat we weren't fans of the King is Dead. I think we had some draw issues. We had relighted a bunch, and yeah. So far this is the total opposite. Like, I'm getting a great draw, great burn. All right, well, back to Bikini Summer. We head out to the beach where we're shown another montage of chicks rubbing oil between their boobs.
A lot of montages in this movie. In fact, you might say that most of the film was a series of montages.
Especially our second film tonight is, I'd say, 75% montage. there's also two big-time dorks surveying the scene for Poonteng.
You know this, again, because they have the nose cream on.
They do have the nose cream on.
So they actually have colored nose cream.
One of them has a t-shirt with a dick penis on it. And I couldn't
could anybody read that?
I could not read it.
Cover me something. No.
I watched this off of Amazon, so it was kind of a little pixelated because it was still 4:3 SD.
We all watched this, rented it on Amazon. We were going to, two of us, the doctor and Tut, attempted to rent it off
FlixFling,
a new streaming service called FlixFling, because they had Bikini Summer 2, and that was going to be our original double feature. And both these guys rented it, and there was no sound, no audio. And then
I tried
part two
as well,
and no audio.
I've written a letter to the CEO of FlixFling.
I actually did send them an email.
One Jeff FlixFling. I'm doubting whether or not he's a real person.
Dear Frederick FlixFling, who do you think? Did you ask for your money back?
No, I really wrote a letter to Mr. FlixFling.
Because Tuts and I just said fuck it.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet, but I think it's fairly easy to do, right? You just send them a... Yeah.
I have a theory that they just think lazy Americans are just... All their movies have no sound, but they're like, Americans aren't
going
to
In that case, neither Tut or I have done anything, so they're two for two in their theory.
They're billionaires from delivering nothing.
You can't fight the FlixFling people, Cade. They're too huge.
Yeah, so boo.
FlixFling. Stay away from it. Stay away.
And it wasn't, you know, everything else worked fine on your streaming services. So it was definitely a FlixFling.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad we don't have to say that. It's a horrible name for a FlixFling.
It would be appropriate name for the Bikini Summer marathon, though.
That's true. Both tonight's movies are Amazon seven-day rental for $3.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these two dorks surveying the scene for chicks. The more confident one, Larry, explains to the more meekish one, Gary.
Larry and Gary.
That if a chick likes you, she's not just going to come over and sit on your face. She's going to send out some heat signals.
Yeah.
Because foxes just want to be chased.
That's right. We chase that which runs from us.
You guys agree with that?
They're no doctor. I bet chicks just sit on my face.
You ever have a chick just come over and sit right on your face?
I never really understood Larry and Gary. They're not part of Chester's crew.
No, they were just dorks hanging on the beach.
Yeah, I guess they're a comic relief for the other stuff that was
It didn't offer much relief.
Did you need comic relief for a bunch of women in bikinis?
Apparently.
I'm going to take it the way you guys danced around that you've never had a Stone Cold Fox at the beach just walk over and plop down on your face.
No.
Me Stone neither. Cold Fox, no.
Decent looking dude?
Something else, perhaps.
That was an accident. Hey, I said I was sorry.
No, it wasn't, and it took a long time in therapy.
You're excluded from this discussion. Due to the Travis Tritt confidentiality agreement. God, if only that thing got lifted, we'd have so much more fun stuff to talk about.
I'm under lawsuit from the Travis Tritt Corporation.
You know, he's coming around here somewhere.
Is he?
Can you get us backstage?
I don't want to show my face.
Last time I saw him, he was sitting on it.
He wouldn't recognize it. He was sitting on it.
I wish someone somewhere would just like,
you have
Travis, you got to listen to this podcast.
You have no choice but to sign that confidentiality agreement. You need air.
Hey, that could be like an 80s movie, like where these goofball podcasters and Travis Tritt's in his mansion and like one of his servants is like, sir, you need to listen to this. He's got like a white suit on and no shirt underneath. These boys think Travis Tritt's some kind of joke.
Wait, so is it Travis Tritt or Ted DiBiase? I'm not sure.
That's kind of picture.
They're best friends,
DiBiase,
and now it's a buddy flick.
Kind of a bulky Tritt.
Yeah, it kind of was. It had that gravelly voice too.
Well, Chet Chet Chester, same guy. He's made his way down to the beach as well from the party house. And within minutes, he's talked these two busty, gorgeous bikini babes into a photo shoot.
He's got his camera.
He's got his little camera.
Meanwhile, all of these people are supposed to be painting this beach house they've been hired to live in and paint for a few weeks, and they all immediately run out and do something else.
Were you surprised by that?
No.
Okay.
I will say that in my work as a cameraman, it's a door opener.
Well, these chicks all seem
to the Blue Oyster Bar.
These chicks always they see a camera.
Going there for a minute.
And you know, he tells them that he's launched several film careers with his photography, and he can put them on some magazine covers, as a matter of fact. And when the shoot's done, they can give him give him their phone numbers so they can get together for some pina coladas and talk about their futures. That's a great line, isn't it? When we're done here, why don't we come over to the house for some pina coladas?
Is that work, Tut?
Talk about your futures.
It does. There's a lawsuit usually that follows within 2 weeks. But hey, go
for
it.
2 weeks.
Roll the dice.
Best Buy, here I come.
I just figured the doctor would be taking notes during this scene.
It's all up here, buddy.
Okay. The photo shoot ultimately backfires when the babes notice that Chet never takes his lens cap off. So doctor, make note of that as well.
Yeah, that's a fairly rookie mistake that I can see myself making.
It happens more than you think it does.
While Jazz is the bass player, her all-girl rock band Jailbait negotiates with this slimy landlord for a rehearsal space for the band. He's a cigar-chomping sleazeball played by a guy named, do you recognize him? His name's Ken Devishian?
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce it, but he's been a ton of shit.
Who's the squatty kind of fat guy in Borat? Sex scene?
Yeah.
With Borat? He's in a bunch of sci-fi movies. Like, he'll pop up in those a lot. He's the only one in the movie I recognized. He played, Azamat in Borat.
So, an all-female band named Jailbait has a sleazy promoter?
Yeah.
Well, there's an interesting wrinkle.
Well, he tells them, you know, you can pay the first month's rent next month. Don't worry about it. I just want you guys to help me get rid of the other tenants. They're losers, and your music will... Plus, we just installed some new showers into the space.
And, definitely take advantage of that often.
Well, Nerdy Renee, the one with the glasses who sews, she's back at the beach house showing her swimsuit designs to a very drunk Mad Dog.
Is he drunk, or is he meditating?
I think really he's zen.
He's in a very...
He's zen, man.
Will you guys start calling me Mad Dog?
No.
Maybe if you will got you that grow zen. Your hair out like
Ooh,
that?
Oh, good question, yeah.
Get the big flowing curls?
If you go permed mullet, I'll call you Mad Dog once or twice.
Up at the pub, too? Like, hey, it's Mad Dog.
Sure.
Yes.
And if people are like, wouldn't you guys just be
but
like...
But sans mullet? No.
I thought it was sans mullet.
I've heard it both ways.
All right, I'll think about it. Does the doctor know a good divorce lawyer? I might need that.
I'm sure we can dig one up.
Okay. Literally.
am I going to need a lawyer here?
Yes.
She's back showing her swimsuit designs because she is a fashion designer in her spare time. And,
who apparently only makes bikinis.
Well, God bless Mad Dog. His mullet and he's got that Gold's Gym tank top that's like two sizes too small. barely covers his belly. And he's popping open Miller Lite after Miller Lite and Miller Lite. Reminds me a lot of you back in the early 2000s.
I drank a lot of
just whenever we'd have a party, you'd find that nice spot on the couch and just...
I don't recall Mad Dog keep opening him. I just thought he just sat there.
He opened one.
She was asking all these. She was talking about her work, and the only response he gave was he opened a beer, and that like solved all of her problems.
Yeah, she was like, "Oh, thanks, Mad Dog." Look, that was his way of approving of her design. Yeah, but that was the way with him too. He'd sit there at these parties, and like the girls would like talk to him, and they'd be like, "Oh, Cody, thank you so much." Like, what the hell?
I felt a kinship to Mad Dog. I spoke his language.
Did you really? Because I sensed a...
It's like his wisdom is timeless.
Not anymore. Talk a lot more now. I think it's because of this damn podcast.
I could stop. Just start handing me cans of beer.
Can we call you Mad Dog?
Yes.
What if all I do is drink Mad Dog 2020 from now on?
that's
I don't think we'll be calling you Mad Dog for very long.
Here comes Mad Dog. Oh, Mad Dog just got hit by a bus.
Did he pass out? No, he's gone into what's known as diabetic shock.
Somebody call Mad Dog's mom and tell him he's
dead.
He's dead. Who? Cade. Sorry, Cade. She's like, no, actually, Mad Dog's pretty sweet. Well, it doesn't matter. He's dead. All right. Enough about Mad Dog. Anyway, he is a calming presence whenever he's around, but he never speaks, ever.
Just burps.
Well, the nerds, Larry and Gary, they lose out with the Fox they're scoping out. And real quick, I just want to say, like, I had a real hard time taking notes on these films without using babes and chicks and foxes and...
You could just stop right there. I had a real hard time taking notes on this stuff. End of story.
The things I do for podcasting.
Who are professionals?
A long walk of shame out here to the corner of Noah. My daughter's like, where's Dad going? Like, I can't talk about it. Don't ever ask me about my business. I've got to take 9 pages of notes on Bikini Summer. So like I said, the nerds, Lane Gary, they lose out with the hot fox they're scoping out when a hunky blonde bombshell named Brad, a.k.a. Matt Cade.
What?
It's in my notes.
This dude rides around in his cut-off white jean shorts, shirtless on his Yamaha scooter.
Well, he takes off his shirt, and all of a sudden this chick just, her heart melts, and she says, I'm in love.
Tut style.
Style. Wait, like... I don't know how you mean that, but is that what you said when you saw that guy grilling the chicken?
Pretty much. Here, handle my patty.
Well, environmentalist Richard also loses out with everybody. He's trying to convert to his multiple causes, like, hey, save the dolphins, and like they blow that off, you know.
Well, this is back in the '80s when cause, and actually ozone. early '90s, where there was a cause for everything.
He throws them all out there: baby seals, ozone, Native American suffering.
Right, we don't have that anymore. You're right, that's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Everybody with a cause.
Ugh. Everybody caring about stuff. You know, break.
Yeah, but nowadays you don't see people like actually being activists for
it. They do it on Facebook.
They just do it on Facebook. Yeah. Look, I posted this meme.
So what you're saying is these dudes back in 1991, they actually had more energy. He was actually pounding the pavement, actually trying to do something.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was funny, though, that he had like a million flyers for every cause. Like, how many trees died to make all those fucking flyers?
Boy, that would have led to an existential moment that ruined the movie. He's like, Oh my God, they're right. What have I done? Such irony. Just
runs out into the sea, gets ate by a shark. Let's make that movie.
I wanted to save the world, and I've destroyed it.
Well, that's what like, they talk about nowadays. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio gives all these speeches around the world about the environment and all that, but like, his private jet and all the, like, how many, whatever it puts out into the atmosphere when he's take, because, you know, he takes like 20 chicks with him everywhere he goes. And
why not?
Mad Dog style.
Yeah, but see, what you don't know is their breast juice powers that flint.
That's funny. He's one of the few movie stars that really gets away with that. He's like, what 40s?
Boinking 19-year-olds, and he's 41.
Like, never even a hint of a girl. He just bangs just like Sports Illustrated swimsuit models his whole life. But like multiple. Like every time you see him, he's got like this harem of just bikini bra. He lives a bikini summer.
Yes, he does. But I always like seeing the pictures of him, and there's these women just running, dancing around him, and he's sitting there looking like...
No, he's got like a little bowler hat on.
He's always staring off into the distance, contemplating something like
the environment.
I just want to say
it's also meaningless.
Only I guess I'll just sleep with one of these women.
If I don't do something, this could be our last bikini summer. You three, let's go downstairs. Oh, man, that's got to be nice, huh? But, I mean, I think more successful guys would roll that way.
Bill Simmons wrote something several years back when he was still writing for ESPN.com about the most amusing thing at the Lakers game was seeing DiCaprio sitting in the front row, calmly sipping a beer, watching the Lakers girls dancing, and he said kind of looking at him like another person would look at like the sandwich meats at a deli, like, don't want turkey tonight or pastrami.
Well, God bless him. It seems like he's a hard-working actor.
Hey, it's
do whatever he wants.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Well, eventually, Richard, the environmentalist, he teams up with some other activists protesting a condo development in the neighborhood, and he gets arrested. You know, at this point, we're 30 minutes into this film. We're a third away into this film. And if you're sitting at home listening to this, like, I have no idea what this movie's about.
Yeah, you're right.
Welcome to the club, asshole. Neither did we.
Yeah.
I have no clue what they're trying to do in this movie. And at this point, though, there's so many bikini babes, I'm okay with it.
The funny thing is, though, is despite all this, I actually like the hippie dude, the white-haired dude. When
the chong?
Yeah, that when the cops show up and the young guy is like, are you going to stand and protest with me? It's like, hey, man, I spent most of the 60s in jail. And I'm not going to do that for the 90s.
And they just leave him there. He gets arrested. So Nerdy Renee has to use whatever sewing money she's made to bail him out because she's the good girl.
And again, you knew the DA means justice because she had her hair pulled back and pulled up.
Oh, that's our first meeting of a DA.
Didn't she also have glasses on?
She did.
She
have
probably did.
And a blazer with shoulder pads. DAs play a big part in both these movies.
Yes.
They're like the evil enemies of beach partiers.
Yep. Stopping me from having a good time.
The enforcer of the man.
While Jazz's band rehearses their rock and roll set, it's full of surprisingly topical, kind of edgy songs. Mr. Bush.
I didn't pick up on anything that they were actually saying.
It's all about President Bush feeding the rich.
I totally didn't catch any of
too
that.
Too busy whacking off, huh?
I
put my fingers in my ears whenever they started playing.
Like, her lyrics were like, Mr. Bush doesn't tax the rich, and you guys didn't pick up on any of that.
It was just some chick screaming.
Maybe you can get yourselves a jailbait CD I admittedly, the band was terrible. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying most of the lyrics are usually much more pleasant.
For my own sanity, I had to just kind of whitewash, just turn up the white noise a little bit.
Well, the big beach party's going down. Remember that crazy hot beach blonde Cheryl, the one of Chet's friends from that's supposed to be redoing the house? She's also the one that fell in love with Brad on the beach, the muscle-bound Matt Cade type. Well,
I never caught that. Did you?
She actually trampled over Larry and Gary as she chased after after Brad.
She shows up in her white party dress.
She shows up in a real slinky little white
ovulating
mini dress, and she's looking for Brad, and he's up in the bedroom doing some other bikini beach babe. Now there's another dude in the next bedroom doing a chick doggy style, and you think it's him. But she looks in there, and it turns out to be a different dude. And you're like, oh, maybe Brad's not such a bad dude. But then he comes out the next door.
Zipping
up his pants. And Brad style. And Cheryl busts him on it. That was no nap. Oh, babe, I was just taking a nap with those chicks. There's no nap. She storms away. Good
I like
her.
His defense when she walks off. So, come on, Cheryl, don't be a downer.
It's amazing Brad knew her name. Guys like Brad don't. No names to them. Well, it turns out we go back to the rehearsal space. The sleazy landlord, Max, only rented the space to Jazz's band so he could watch them shower through a pretty sizable hole in the wall.
Get a little Porky's hole in the wall.
We get to thankfully join him on his little Peeping Tom excursion. You know, this guy's a monster. That's what I meant. We're forced as viewers to see what he's seen. I didn't like it. I felt victimized myself, but for a podcast...
Also considering it took like 5 minutes.
Well, how long did it take you to shower? It was real time.
Well, I guess so. I mean,
it was better in Porky's when Tommy Turner stuck his wang through the hole.
Thank God Max didn't pull out his pecker in this thing. But no, we do watch...
Smashes the wall down.
We do watch as two of Jazz's fellow band members shower after rehearsal. The TNA is on DEFCON 4 here. I mean, we're seeing downstairs, we're seeing upstairs, we're seeing around the back, we're seeing everything. I mean, they're literally just showering, and we're just watching. So many of these '90s sex romps skimp out on the nudity, or just kind of give you a glimpse or whatever. Not this one. These showers are.
That's where that subset of genre comes in.
Yes. What we don't have in plot or acting talent or
I mean, this was
production quality.
And we don't have it.
This is like...
We don't have it. We don't have
we
these
don't
things.
Have it.
let's just... more boobs.
Exactly. This is a made-for-Skinamax movie.
After the girls bust Max, it's like I said, it's a huge hole. There's no way he's not going to get caught. And all the while, too, as he's looking out the thing, he's smoking a cigar and exhaling smoke through the hole. Like, they'd have to at least smell a stogie. One of them says a funny line, I thought it was strange when he said he liked our music.
No one's ever said that before.
That should have been our first clue.
You guys are talented. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Well, the next morning, a very hungover Cheryl wakes up poolside at the party house. She did not sleep with Brad.
Naked.
Yeah, she wakes up naked. No, she wakes up in a dress and peels it off to go for a swim.
Yes.
Perfectly,
at a house
perfectly
that
reasonable.
Is not hers. Perfectly. The first thing she does is to wake up and say, "I'm going to strip down naked."
Well, first of all, how refreshing was this?
Perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Exactly.
How refreshing was this little time capsule where a girl that hot could get drunk in that dress, pass out at a party full of horny dudes, and not get gang raped?
Meanwhile, you see Bill Cosby off in the background.
Why you put the little stuff in your beer?
Want some breakfast, Cheryl? I got some pudding.
Give Cheryl a ride home. Got some pudding pops for breakfast.
But no, it just seems like dudes are such dicks nowadays. That's all you hear about is a girl can't even go to a party.
It really also begs the question is, why was she the only one that like fell asleep on a lawn chair or whatever?
I think because she was so disappointed
about
it.
Bill Cosby was there.
A little special margarita.
I do a horrible Bill Cosby.
Funny as that would go for a morning dip in the pool.
Well, she's like,
we're all
what?
Doing a horrible person.
It's a new day and Cheryl's gonna start this on her own terms. So she takes off all her clothes, butt ass naked. Is that a Garrison Keillor?
Cheryl stripped off.
We introduced a Garrison Keillor segment on the show last week.
It was a warm California morning.
The sun bathed down on Cheryl's bikini straps as the Los Angeles Times was delivered on the... We said we weren't going to do anymore.
Sorry.
Harrison Keillor.
Hey, he retired.
But she does. She strips down naked and jumps in the pool to
cool off.
Wash the Cosby off.
Wash the Cosby off. No, I think she was left alone that night. It was refreshing. Just seems like all you hear about, like, girls can't go to parties anymore without some dick trying to do something bad. Anyway. I don't want to bring a downer onto this.
No, it's a good point.
We're in the fun zone.
Okay, don't be a downer.
Don't be a downer, Cade.
Fair enough. So she starts swimming, and she strips down to nothing, and she's kind of just it's a long montage of her swimming, collecting her thoughts. Though you can tell by the way she kind of whips her hair around and looks.
It's
up.
A jerk scene. She's just swimming around naked. She's bending over.
Thoughts.
She's getting her
collecting her thoughts.
Yeah, let's call it that. Yeah.
Going down the only road I've ever known. It's constantly her just standing up, butt-ass naked, showing her awesome body.
Like a drifter, I was born.
I don't know. What's it show her? Swim naked 10 minutes?
Because I'm taking my time.
It was a swim in real time.
Well, she really seems to get centered and really kind of figure out who Cheryl is again, you know? Am I the only one that got that subtext?
Yes.
She was like a young Meryl Streep in this scene.
God, no.
I read so much in this. She didn't have to say it. I can just read it into her.
How many times did you watch that scene?
Oh, I don't know. 30. Good for her. Good for her.
For what? Being naked? Yes, good for her.
She re-enters the party house and finds a long-haired stallion watching her from behind a piano. She freaks out, starts like covering herself up. He pleads that he's just an honest musician trying to hammer out a new ballad on his piano. But she's not buying his innocent little artistic spiel. But it's the truth. It's actually his house. He's a musician. And he's like, you know what? Get the hell out of here if you don't believe me. I don't want anything to do with you.
That was kind of a weird, like, she's offended if she thought that he wasn't the owner of the house. But if he was the owner of the house, then the peep show's cool.
I don't think it was cool either way. I think you guys are misreading.
I like how she kept pushing him. Oh, I'm not falling for that bit. And they're like, okay, leave.
I think you guys are just misreading all of Cheryl's moves here.
I guess I was confused because initially I thought...
at him for looking at her while she swims naked in his pool. What are you supposed to do? Hey, get out of my... pool, you naked person.
I guess I was
you
just taken aback.
Hey, hot naked chick out of the pool.
He walks out there. What the hell?
Of course, nowadays, you're like, I don't want the lawsuit. Get the hell out of my yard. Yeah.
God, how times have changed.
I thought the songwriter was so magisterial. I thought it was Julianne Phillips from Fresh Lips at first. I didn't realize it was a guy.
He really did have Julianne Phillips.
That long, curly hair and just, man.
You know, you actually remind me of when earlier we see him kind of tootling away at the piano. He's stuck trying to come up with a chorus or whatever. You kind of remind me of like Richard Marx, because the same time period, like he was real big. That kind of songwriter. Like,
I don't think Marx's hair was ever that teased.
No, this was Kip Winger-esque.
That was Janie Lane from Warrant hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Only maybe better.
Yeah, Kip Winger had.
I'm going with Slaughter, lead singer for Slaughter, dude.
Mark Slaughter.
Yeah. No, it wasn't as permed. Yeah, this dude's hair.
This guy put some time into this thing. We get up in the morning.
I want to break you guys. Google Kip Winger, and you'll see I'm right. I may not be right about Cheryl's mindset and her mental state, but I know my Kip Winger, damn it. But I'm with you also, Mincy. I thought it was a chick there for a long time when he was at the piano.
I was like, all right, we're going to have some steamy lesbian sex.
All right, let's take it off.
Now, here we go.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, it's a dude.
Well, back at the Patterson Beach House, remember that house, the one they're supposed to be fixing up? Chester has invested in a ton of professional camera equipment. He got a good enough feedback from the chicks on the beach, but they were all a little skeptical of him, so he thought if he got some lights and bounce boards and stuff and it works.
Yeah.
He manages to get some chicks to come up there and get some naked and for a photo shoot.
He's going to need something to fall back on. His house painting career is going to be over.
But here's where it backfires. To get them, because they're like, well, most photographers supply the bikinis. So Renee's got those bikinis she's designing. So he goes and gets them to him. You know that's going to cause problems in the house.
At some point, if I was Chester, I would have taken a more aggressive approach. I'd have been like, you two bitches know an awful lot about the photo business for being a couple of whores I found on the beach.
That might have been in Bikini Summer 2. Thanks, Flix Fling.
Thanks for nothing. Waiting to hear back from you, Jeff Flix Fling.
So Renee shows up and she's pissed. You let these skanks wear my bathing suits? He's like, but hey, baby, they love them and they want to buy them. So immediately she's thrilled. You know, she's getting some validation for her craft.
They are no longer skanks when they wish to purchase my.
Yeah, exactly. Now she loves these guys.
Exactly.
Now they've turned into customers. Who happen to be skanks.
Well, now, almost an hour into the film, and I'm with you, listeners, I still don't know what the hell the film's about, they decide that a bikini contest would greatly benefit every single one of them. Renee can sell her bikinis like hotcakes. Jazz's band, Jailbait, can play the event for exposure. It can act as a fundraiser for Richard's.
Yeah, aren't they like trying to save the beach or something like that?
To thwart the condo development.
Yeah.
So he can get the signatures the city requires. Everyone who shows up at the bikini thing will have to sign a petition.
And it gives a glimmer of hope to those of us who've wondered what we've done with the last hour of our life.
And Cheryl's like, hey, this will give me a chance to meet some hot environmentalist dudes. Always thinking. And Mad Dog as well seems into it because there'll be a lot of free beer.
So he doesn't vocalize
that, but they tell him that. Like, and Mad Dog, there's going to be a lot of free beer. He's like,
I think he belches
his approval.
I was about to say, Mad Dog belches his.
He belches his approval, and that sets the plan in stone. When Mad Dog burps, it's go time. All of a sudden, when Richard starts passing out his activist flyers advertising the bikini contest,
everybody becomes so interested. But at first I had to ask the question, wait a second. Obviously he has the hookup to get all these flyers, once again destroying the environment, not saving it. But where did they come up with, like, let's do this? And magic happens. We have a venue. We have just everything falls
venue,
into
the
place.
DJ.
Sometimes, Yak Boy, there's just that magical bikini summer. And it all just works. But dude, everyone wants his flyers now.
Oh my God, I've slashed and burned another rainforest. What have I done?
Blows his brains out.
I can't do anything right.
It's a bikini winter. A bikini long cold winter for Richard. But all of a sudden they're paying attention. Nobody's throwing his flyers in the trash because everybody loves a bikini contest. But Renee is having a meltdown at the sewing machine, guys. She's doubting her skills, doubting her ability to make women look sexy. So Cheryl and Jazz do what any good friends would do, what I would hope you guys would do for me. They strip down and model the swimsuits to show Renee just how sexy they are. They really boost her confidence.
You may be expecting too much.
And then the three of them have a bikini.
Y'all have known him longer.
The three of them have a bikini contest there in the kitchen at the Patterson house. They start squirting tonic water bottles all over each other's boobs.
Bikini it's just, summer.
But where would they get tonic water bottles in this day and age?
Old man Patterson, man. Those old guys like that tonic and the drink.
I guess so. But those things were ginormous.
They were like clowns.
Poor Patterson, he comes home, his house isn't painted, there's beer cans everywhere, and they drank all his fucking tonic water.
I was concentrating on just a display of friendship this was. What Cheryl and Jazz did to boost Renee up.
What movie
stuff
were
I'd
you
like for
watching?
You guys to, I'd like for you guys to do that kind of stuff. But you know, that's just Mad Dog. That's just how I feel.
You can't call yourself that. The name is given, not given.
That is true. That is true. No mullet, no nickname.
Words to live by.
Words to live by. So Cheryl goes back to the dreamy Kip Winger, Richard Marx, 80s rock star guy. Although he's not a cocky, I mean, he's a very gentle soul.
Yeah. He's not a headbanger.
No. He goes back to the house and she delivers him a personal invite to the party as he laboriously toils away at his piano. He's noncommittal. You know he'll be there.
It's interesting that she goes back to ask him there considering their last encounter, but at this point
she's basically called him a liar and he told her to get the hell out of there. Like,
yeah.
There was something there. I think when Cheryl was swimming naked in that pool, some of the stuff she was thinking about as far as her life or her past choices, like Brad. I mean, I got a lot of introspection, and I could see this move coming from Cheryl at this point. It didn't surprise me as much.
It's interesting that you got that. Yeah. I should probably wash my beaver out.
From the singer-songwriter for her? From her.
Onward.
Nice beaver. Thanks. I just
nice
had a stuff.
Nice beaver.
But you know he's going to be there. You know it. Come on. And boom, we cut to the Patterson house where the bikini contest is in full effect. Jazz's band is rocking the side stage.
Jailbait's rocking.
Mad Dog is drinking.
Wait, is it at the Patterson house? Is that where they have the...
Was it not?
I thought they had some little beer hall somewhere. They rented some little place or something.
Oh, maybe it was. It may have been the rehearsal space.
I didn't think that was in their house.
Okay, boy. But most movies, it would be at the house they're supposed to
just
be
just to trash
care
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, it's still coming.
Well, wherever they're having this party, it doesn't matter. Jazz's band is rocking the stage. Mad Dog's just sitting there in the audience drinking his face off. Richard's getting everyone to sign the petition at the door, which is important. Chet's handling the MC duties for the bikini contest.
Of course.
And the gang is firing on all cylinders. Everyone there is...
What's that, Cody?
Well, I just find it odd that, you know, you sign the petition, he's like, you know, it's $5. Now sign the petition. The guy's like, what did I just sign? Just save the beach. He's all like pointing at the... Save the beach.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
If we got involved in the cause, would you make everyone that comes in the pub sign a petition for him?
Absolutely.
It's good to know.
Think I could get a slip of Foo Flyers in there to have people sign over their kidneys?
Sure, why not?
All right. For medical science purposes,
you just gave
of
your kidney to the doctor. You just came in to listen to some music.
It's a noble cause. I thank you.
Well, even Larry and Gary, did you see that? Even the two dorks on the beach are helping out. They're like handing out some brochures or something.
Bring it all together.
They're still wearing at night. They're... cream on their nose.
Yes.
They're bringing it all together on every level except for what they're supposed to be doing, painting the house.
At this point, everyone is just... the whole gang is firing on all cylinders. Renee is helping all the girls get into her bikinis. And it's just one bikini contestant after another. Chet gives them a brief Q&A, introducing them all, like kind of a pageant type deal. My favorite one was from, I believe it was Miss Muncie, Indiana, who was an aerobics major. Is that a real thing, Doctor?
I believe it is, Mr.
You
K.
You spent
yes.
some time in Muncie, didn't you?
I was in Munchie, Indiana.
Oh.
Different place entirely.
How'd that go?
It was, well, quite biting. I believe you can major in aerobics. Didn't you guys see a film once where a person majored in ceramics?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Isn't that called Ghost?
Possible.
Oh, it's far too early to tell, Tuttle.
But it's just, it's an awesome
look. My God, what a major that must be. Aerobics. Can you think of the muscles you must strain?
So healthy.
Both mentally and physically. My God, aerobics major.
But get this, right after the piece de resistance, Cheryl walks out and blows the crowd away. Not blow the crowd.
Man,
that was
Cheryl came out and blew.
And that dropped this movie into another subgenre.
No, that would happen in our next film, and I wouldn't be surprised. No, she doesn't actually blow the crowd. She blows them away with her beauty.
Shouldn't have quit paying attention.
Exactly. I checked out like,
I think that
checked
was
out
only,
like 45
that,
minutes ago.
That was only available in the FlixFling cut. Damn you, FlixFling. But the lame beach cops show up right as she struts her stuff. She's about to win this thing.
Yeah.
And the fucking lame-o beach cops and the district attorney show up and shut it down. She's not district. She's a city council woman.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Oh, okay.
And they break
either way, she's a vile, no-fun-having bitch.
That's undeniable. I believe actually that's the character's name.
The IMDb credit.
She's like, you sluts. You're exploiting women. I'm not going to have it on my beach. Which Renee, the nerd, runs out and is like, you don't say that about my swimsuits. I'm making these women sexy. And she defends her swimwear. You know, they're not trashy. They're not exploitive. They're beautiful. And then the city councilman with a giant stick up her ass says, well, if that's the case, why aren't you wearing one? You know what's happening now.
Foreshadowing.
Well, as police...
Message.
As police in riot gear break up the crowd...
Because you need stormtrooper gear to break up...
In the 80s, this was like Ferguson. Like, this is what... You know, you'd have, like, beat guys with nose block getting pummeled by cops.
And, hey, there was that whole Rodney King thing. There was some police...
Big knockers matter. Can we get that hashtag going?
Big knockers matter.
Big knockers matter. They do, boys. They do.
Let the offensive statements begin.
How's that offensive?
Oh, nothing. I'm fine. So
just because you date chicks with tits like a sparrow doesn't mean that's all there is in the world.
I wish.
As the police in the riot gear begin breaking up the crowd, those pigs. And they're real mean cops, too. They got them big mustaches. Both these movies have cops with... They all have mustaches.
All cops have mustaches.
Yeah, especially in the early
90s. No, I think it's literally all cops have mustaches.
Still today, there's one mustache.
And didn't they have the silver glasses on?
Yeah,
back then, you had to have the mirror glasses.
Yeah, they're just trying to have a good time. Well, the bitch city councilwoman states that she has permission to confiscate Jailbait's instruments.
What?
Unless they pay a whopping $900 fine. Well, right as the Gestapo's about to unplug their guitars, our rock composer Dreamboat, Kip Winger guy, shows up with $900 in his hand.
Here I go again.
Turns out his name is Bert Hardin, a famous songwriter known for such hits as Midnight Love, My Sunshine. One of her fellow bikini competitors is listing off Bert's hits to Cheryl, and she can't believe this is the guy at the piano who she told off. It's fucking Bert Hardin.
Didn't you dance your way through your last year of college under the name Bert Hardin?
I didn't. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, nothing.
Talk later. Read the guidelines of the show, asshole. We don't talk about certain things.
Just mad I didn't get my money back. Paid for a lot of dances.
Bert Hardin's a big fucking deal. And it's also a really bad name for this character. Like, he's a dreamboat. He should have like a name like Max...
Lance Uppercut.
Max. That's Max Stillwater. Or something cool. Bert Hardin?
That's Rock Strongo.
We're not buying that name. All right. Lance Uppercut.
Thank you, Mr. Uppercut.
Anyway, he's got $900. He listened to them on the radio, Jailbait.
Trent Steele.
Because there was a radio station broadcasting this?
Yeah, there's apparently a live radio broadcast. I don't know.
How did they get... everything just seemed to like just... They did nothing. And yet, it's all there. Everything.
If your heart's in the right place and your intentions are pure, shit will just find a way of working itself out.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I keep telling myself that.
That's where I went wrong.
Here we are.
My heart's never been in the right place and I've never had pure intent.
Here we are.
Wow.
We'll get there. Our hearts are pure. How's that shandy treating you guys?
Tastes a lot better with the tears in it.
Yeah, because my tears have some alcohol in them.
Doctor?
Yes, Mr. Cade.
If your tears literally had alcohol in them, is that something you should get checked out, or you'll be fine the next day?
Not at all.
He's a doctor.
He's got to know what he's talking about.
The beer is certainly not complex. It tastes like a lemon, a nice wheat beer with a lemonade. It's cooling me down, and it's not helping nor harming the cigar, correct?
No, not at all.
What do you guys think of the cigar?
It's all right. I'm not that impressed with it.
It's too mild.
I think
that's coming from me and Cody, so that means it's probably...
You too mild as well?
Not yeah. Getting, definitely.
I'm not picking up on anything.
I'll be honest,
overly complex.
No, I'm getting that same cedar that I got from the beginning.
Yeah.
Not having the construction issues. I had to do a relight. That was just, I think, from talking to
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had to relight it. It's
I'm not having
very
any,
well.
Any of the construction yeah. issues we had with the King is Dead. We're about halfway. I'm a little, not quite to halfway mark.
Definitely if you prefer very mild as a cigar. That's not a bad thing. Everybody's got different tastes.
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah. It's a hard thing to do a mild kind of non-complex cigar at a certain price point because
yeah.
if you're
yeah.
looking for a cigar to sit out and drink some lemonade beers with out in 100-degree sun, there's a lot of $2 bundle cigars that'll give you what you're looking for there. So if you're going to come at it from a premium cigar standpoint at a higher price point, what am I getting for that bump in price?
Well, you're getting a little bit of cedar in there, and it's a weird because you are getting. I'm getting like a little hint of mint. So,
I got mint on the cold draw.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for it to come back, but not quite where you are. So,
yeah, I'm about the midway, and it's kind of reintroducing itself.
Okay, I could get into that if we'll see where that goes. But
yeah,
all right, we'll come back in a little bit. But like I said, construction is not an issue this time around.
No, construction's top notch.
It's still a really good looking cigar. It's burning really good, and. Yeah, just not a lot of complexity so far. And the beer, well... This is a cigar you could have gone a really complex beer with, and it would have really helped it.
Probably, yeah.
You could do the Don de Deux with this one.
Yeah, throw some flavors at it, let it bounce off the cigar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could do Don de Deux with this one. My complaint with the Don de Deux was...
Or
you could Don de Don't do the Don de Deux. It's up to you.
To Don
de Don de maybe?
Don de perhaps.
To Don de do or to Don de don't?
That is the Don de question.
The Don de question.
I'm not a fan of the Shandy. It's not a bad beer. I mean, if somebody offered to me, I wouldn't be like, nah, I'm not gonna drink it. But somebody would pretty much have to offer it to me.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be... Now, if I'm sitting outside on a hot day and they're going to serve it to me with a big orange wedge in it and
little parasol umbrella in there,
you keep coming, then for the right price, I'll sure.
Yeah, but and it's been a while since I've had like some of the mass producers of like Shock Top or something like that. If you're wanting to go citrusy,
I can't really compare it to me. It's been a while for me too. And my days of kind of sitting around just chugging a 12-pack of beer are kind of past me. You know, if I want to get hammered, I'm going to drink hard stuff. If I'm going to drink beer, I want to taste something good and interesting.
Yeah.
Like, You know, used to be when we were younger, you'd get a case. There's my Saturday afternoon.
Here comes the natural life, baby. Here you go. Boom!
But if I was going to go that route, I could drink the shit out of this.
Yeah, you could.
But what's the ABV, like 4.7?
4.2. And it's like 11 IBU. Man. So it has like, no, I mean, there's no hops. No hop bite.
I wonder what this would be like with some vodka in it.
I bet you it actually would be a good mixer drink.
Let's take beer and some vodka.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, my days are just getting hammered or past me.
Yeah, I think I've matured a little bit now. Let me see if we spike this shit with some vodka. Ted, get the shot glasses. No? Beer and vodka don't mix.
I didn't say that.
You looked at me with a look of pure disgust. You looked at me like Cheryl looked at those beach dorks.
Nah, she was actually kind of polite to them.
Yeah, Kelly just looked at me like,
revulsion.
You gotta chase the fox, baby. Cody's not just gonna come over here and sit on my face.
You gotta chase the vodka, man.
You work for it. Alright, well, Cody's our resident mixologist here, so apparently mixing vodka into the shandy is not a... I'm still gonna try it. You can't stop me when you're not around.
I think there's some interesting scientific experiments that could be done here.
Yeah. What about like a some makers?
No.
Sure. Why not? Yeah, I think it'll work out fine.
Could you potentially layer a shandy with another beer?
Well, technically, you can make a shandy from beer,
right? But so. Could you improve on a shandy by mixing it with another beer?
Possibly. Making it more beer?
Making it more beerish? What if we just dump a Guinness into our shandy?
Ugh. Lemon Guinness.
I think that's what...
The Guinness Nitro?
I think that actress from Big Bang Theory, Tuttle, the Kelly Cocoa Puffs, got in trouble for mixing Guinness in with some shandies. People got really pissed off at this. Kelly Cocoa
it's
Puffs.
True, it's true. I saw her Instagram.
It was her dogs were sitting on a flag and people didn't like that. It wasn't totally that she was wearing a flag.
I totally missed that.
People wear flags
all
every
I know
day.
Is she can do no wrong in the doctor's eyes.
I don't find her that attractive.
I do.
Oh, wow.
Now maybe, that Johnny Galecki.
Maybe you need a pair of these.
Maybe I do.
Doctor, check his eyes.
So they're shutting down this thing. You know, if there's fun to be had, the popo and the...
The man doesn't want you to have it.
City government's going to come in and do it.
Man needs to take over your cigars.
Fucking Bert Hardin comes in with $900. He wants to sign Jailbait to a record contract on the spot, and they're back in business. Even though they've just been jamming these little instrumentals, they haven't been singing anything. They're just playing like this little loop over and over.
Hey,
again.
Man, when Bert Hardin smells talent, you fucking pay it. That's Bert fucking Hardin, dude. You don't question that. That guy wrote the song More Inspiration and My Little Pony or whatever.
No lyrics.
Trust me, you're going to want more cowbell.
No lyrics. No real songs.
Bert Hardin wants more cowbell. That's Bert Hardin over there.
Hey.
More cowbell.
Bert Hardin is just like everybody else. He puts his pants... one leg at a time, and then he gets up and puts on that fucking teased hair and makes fucking gold.
Well, everybody's on board with it. I think even the city councilwoman was like, oh, fucking Bert Hardin.
Puts his pants on one leg at a time, all three legs.
Kate style.
Now, once again, now.
Well, all of a sudden, Max, the slimeball landlord, shows up, and it turns out he's behind the evil condo development that they're trying to stop.
Of course.
A lot of walls you can drill holes into those condos.
Well, it's a lot of walls. Why is this condo nothing but showers? No bedrooms. Jazz tells the crowd about Max's peeping Tom ways, and the uptight blazer-wearing city councilwoman threatens to lock him up. As Max runs away through the crowd, they start chanting, "Save the beach, kill the condo." And dude, Richard's face lights up like, mission accomplished, man. He got it. He got it. It's happening. And then there's a fucking hysterical moment. Remember Brad, the stud from the beach that banged his way out of Cheryl's heart? Max runs into him as he's running out, and Brad's like, "Dad?" And Max fires back with, shut the hell up, you little sponge.
And then runs away. That was a nice touch, making the doofus Brad Max's son.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like, come on, that was funny. You didn't laugh in the Nevin?
No, I was still just really appreciating your line. Remember, he banged his way out of her heart. That was awesome.
That sounds like a Bert Hardin song.
Speaking of good songwriters, unlike Jailbait, as always, we're listening to
The dulcet tones,
the dulcet tones of Fritz Beer. Nobody does it better. So if you like what you're hearing, go to fritzbeermusic.com. Buy some shit.
Amen.
Could you get Jailbait to play at the clubs?
I think they're dead now.
Abe?
Probably.
Well, we could maybe get some Jailbait to play at the pub.
I think everyone in the room is probably dead of AIDS at this point.
So then the cunty, the city.
Only person who's not dead is Mad Dog. He lost 75 pounds and became Dog the Bounty Hunter.
He does very dog-esque.
City councilwoman pulls out her trump card. The venue doesn't have a license to sell liquor, and she'll close it down on that angle. But just then, a limo, a lot of limos in these movies, it's got the 80s limo with the bullhorns on the front of it.
And a license plate that says, big.
Big.
Was it 1G?
Yes.
Pulls up.
That's when you know it's big. It only needed 1G. Well,
and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders get out.
A few bikini chicks just pile out of it, and then there's Big Earl Connors. Enters the club.
You gotta love it. You know, all of a sudden Rich Texan shows up.
Yeah. It's a Simpsons Rich Texan guy. You're totally right. It is Rich Texan from Simpsons. Hey, girls!
But the girl, he's is Big Earl Connors, but the girls just call him Big. That's what he says.
You can just call me Big.
In Houston, we call this a Fort Worth shampoo.
Well, it turns out Mad Dog, of all people, the silent Mad Dog, talked Big Earl into supplying the bikini contest with beer, and he was so persuasive over 3 hours of conversation, Mad Dog was, that Big Earl is putting him in charge, Mad Dog, of a string of nationwide bikini contests, and he's naming Mad Dog as his vice president of worldwide marketing.
Everything's Who just coming up roses!
And Big Earl has the license in his hand to sell beer.
Everything's just working out.
Of course it is. And it's all when Cheryl was swimming naked that day after the party. That's where it started. Go back and watch that scene. I did. Like I said, 30 times.
I'm going to take your word for it.
I think it will. It's a 7-day rental. Go back and watch that scene a couple times. You're welcome.
I was going to anyways, but that's not the point.
I saw the doctor watching it in the bathroom.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you remove the other 15 minutes of dialogue in this film, it's great.
This is basically this whole movie is the Warrant She's My Cherry Pie video without...
It pretty much is,
without the music part. It's just chicks... Actually, that's more of our next movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
Well, the nail in the regulatory coffin walks on stage all of a sudden. We knew this was happening. Renee, sporting one of her own swimsuits. But yeah, you're going to accuse me of exploiting women and not... You know, being sexy enough to wear it myself. Boom. She's taking off the glasses.
She's taking off the glasses and let her hair down.
Doing the hair shake.
Doctor, when you go out socially, do you find, after you've established your persona in a crowd of people, if you were to remove the glasses...
And do the hair shake.
And shake it off?
I'm not much on the hair shake, but every now and then I will remove the glasses for emphasis.
You know, and I'm also not very good on big on going out.
Or being very social. Or mixing with other people. So I guess to answer your question, Mr. Cade, in short, I don't know. This never happens to me.
Honest answer. Appreciate that. She's embracing her femininity, her budding sexuality, and that sends the city councilwoman running. She's had enough. Big Earl, turns out, has a private jet to get back to. So Jailbait starts up the music, and the party is back fucking on. Everyone is rocking out. Even the mustache cops start dancing. Can't beat them, join them. And they start signing the petition. Power to the people. That's what I got out of this.
Yeah.
If the people don't actually have to do anything and everything just appears perfectly for them.
This movie is my Do the Right Thing.
If only we could raise enough money to put on a fundraiser.
My head just... I'm not sure what an aneurysm feels
to
like.
To get our instruments out of hock.
I think...
Well, you've had two shandies. Your blood sugar content's through the roof.
If only we had some woman who could sew 100 bikinis in 2 hours.
Renee?
It all happens too perfectly. I question the validity.
I'm telling you.
I want to get up and walk out just because of this is the do the right thing of this generation.
No. Film is a subjective experience. But I think what Robert Veazey accomplished here is equal to anything Spike Lee's ever done.
Film is a subjective experience. Which raises the question, was this film?
Giant knockers matter. Can we get t-shirts made?
Probably.
Tank tops. That's more suitable, tank tops.
It's definitely more suitable. Yeah, I'm not on board this film, dude.
Well, let me... We're almost to the finish line here. So Cheryl wins first prize at the annual Hot Bikini Contest. But despite her crown, she's totally focused on the steamy dreamboat out in the crowd that is Bert Hardin. How could she not be?
It's Bert Hardin, man.
He's at the bar, and he's written a love song for her. But before they can all enjoy their victory against the man, Chester realizes, oh shit, the Pattersons are on their way over Norway.
Greenland. Sorry. It doesn't matter at this point. Norway, Greenland, New Jersey, wherever.
I knew it was a country full of pale people. Are we going to have Greenland protesting us now?
No, I think there's like 3 people there.
Okay.
Fuck those whale-eating bastards.
I don't think they even get podcasts. Oh, so they're like everyone else. But they haven't done a damn thing to this house, and they're coming back in the morning. So they all have this oh shit moment and run back to the house. Now, they don't show us a Revenge of the Nerds montage of them fixing the house up.
Well, they've had 32 montages.
Well, they don't need one. They just appear it's back, true, and yeah, once again, the house has been fixed up.
Listeners, can you guess who was responsible for that one? Give you 2 guesses, but you're only going to need one.
Would it perhaps start with an M? End with the G.
If I belched right now, you'd know it was Mad Dog. They run back to the house, and it's completely remodeled.
I just want like them to look over at Mad Dog and just see him leaning against the wall like, you know how hard it is to get all this shit done?
Drops dead.
No, they're like, Mad Dog did it again. He's laying there dead. He's on the ground. His eyes rolled back in his head.
There's Mad Dog being Mad Dog.
No, I'm dying.
Look, he's talking. Help.
Call 911.
Fucking Mad Dog.
Seriously, call 911.
Fucking crazy bastard.
I drink too much and I'm overweight. Just throw him another beer and a bag of chips. He'll be fine. 10 minutes.
Just put a bag of Doritos on his nuts. He'll be fine.
I hate all of you.
Classic Mad Dog. Well, here's the thing. Do you guys notice? Not only is the house like to the nines looks perfect, there was like a modern looking flat screen TV on the wall. Like they didn't have those back then.
I think that might have been a Bert Hardin
touch.
It
wasn't like a big projection, big screen. It was like a flat screen monitor on the wall.
Yeah, sure, meaning the TV wasn't inset into the wall.
No, this was a flat screen. Mad Dog like traveled.
Also,
in the
why
future.
Was it, I mean, this must be like in California. Why was there a Texas flag on the wall?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
maybe Mad Dog was Texan. That would make sense.
Because he got Mr. Big to fix it up, who just couldn't help putting up fucking Texas
Big Earl.
Flag.
Big Earl's like, I'll do it, but you got to put the flag up there.
They pull the 6 shooters out.
Yeah!
That's really the only thing he didn't do. Anyway, somehow there's a mystery flat screen TV. But they're all flabbergasted, and they look over to good old Mad Dog, the only one who could have done it. And he just lets out a huge burp. And back at the venue, in a surprise development, the bitchy city councilwoman returns to the... It's vacated now. Nobody's there. And she strips down naked and puts on one of Renee's bikinis. And despite her tough-as-nails exterior the whole movie, she wants desperately to let her freak flag fly.
She's liberated.
She's liberated.
Sexually, politically, and
don't see that in a Spike
stupidly.
Lee movie. Give me one Spike Lee movie where we saw a change in character, an awakening like this.
Well, she's finally, all of them. It
she,
ends.
She struts out on stage, shakes her titties, and we freeze frame on a
on titty shake.
Has Spike Lee ever had a freeze frame on a pair of titties? Oh, was that Malcolm X? No, that was
that was Malcolm Sex. That was a different movie.
Oh, that's the one I saw. You're right. You guys well, she struts out on stage and does her thing, and we freeze frame on her with a curious title card. Comes up, The End? Question mark. So they knew they had something here because they're like, we're doing a Bikini Summer too.
We shut all the footage of
bikinis. Signed the rights away to Flixwing. And nobody's ever going to be able to see it. Well, they'll see it, they just can't hear it.
They shot literally 50 hours of bikini is, montages. They needed to make movies.
Really, after watching this
we
movie,
we should have watched
we
the
could
Flixwing
have watched Flixwing, and it would have been totally fine.
Yeah, because like I said, the biggest important scene was Cheryl discovering herself in that pool, and there was no audio there whatsoever.
In the realm!
Except Bert Hardin, like, toiling away on the piano.
Of TNA. This movie stunk.
It was pretty bad.
This was horrible.
Well,
Here's the thing, though, and I think you'll back me up on this. Once I realized early on the type of movie it was, and I wasn't going to get a hot dog that had good acting,
yeah,
you know, like, what's the... Richard Naughton,
right?
You know, or Up the Creek with Tim Matheson,
right?
Once I realized that this was not one of those movies, this was a USA Up All Night.
No, this is a Skinamax Friday Night.
Skinamax, edited highly for. This would have been a very frustrating USA Up All Night movie. It would have been 15 minutes
exactly.
Long on USA Up All Night. You know, once I realized it was that kind of flick, yes, they. They don't have the things that Up the Creek and Hot Dog and Revenge of the Nerds. They don't have a cause or heart and soul or a plot or actors or believable dialogue or
believable narrative or anything for that matter that would warrant watching.
Which
it.
Goes back to your question, Mincy: is this film? This had no soul. I mean, there was no soul to this at
I
all.
I think you realized from the very beginning that this is not going to be in the category of Hot Dog or Up the Creek or anything like that. It's still...
You were pissed. When I talked to you, I remember like, a piece of shit.
I don't recall being angry.
I can tell you were so angry.
I was disappointed. I am not a fan of Bikini Summer. Chick that played Cheryl is a beautiful young lady.
She is.
The scene of her, Kincaid saw self-discovery. I did not.
Nope.
I just saw a naked chick in a pool.
Yep.
You self-discovered yourself.
No comment. I just... If you're going to have a movie that its sole purpose for watching it is tits, and there are plenty of those, this didn't... As much as this was... I mean, the opening montage got me. I was like, okay. And I knew what it was going to be, but then the next 20 minutes, I was like, what happened since that happened?
Nothing. You're an hour into this wondering what the hell's going on.
The second film that we're going to review, and I know you may have more points you want to make, that one worked because it went way more.
I agree. And I'm so glad that Flixfling did not work out for us because this next movie is the perfect contrast to Bikini Summer.
Yeah.
Because in so many ways it's so similar, but in other ways it's so much more entertaining.
It's the same sort of budget, same sort of feel, same type of acting, but they took what they realized that where...
See, I think the car wash company is a little bit more closer to the hot dog genre.
It is a little bit, but it's not for a acting skills. I think it comes from
And then it was watchable, yes, it was closer.
Well, I mean, it had some funny stuff in it. I mean, it was just...
Oh, God, we're still drinking the bug juice, huh?
You guys, if any of you would like to shift gears away from the shandy, we've done that before on the show, and I'd be curious if something else played differently with the cigar. You never know. So if you guys want something else, let me know.
No, I'll try another can of this goat piss. I mean, summer shandy.
All right, so we got two big non-fans, obviously, you guys. Mincy, I'm going to read your goat piss comment as the thumbs down.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's too sweet. It's not as sweet as the root beer. It just really tastes like lemonade.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because my alcoholism has reached such depths that 4.2 ABV is just kind of something that my system laughs at. That could be a factor as well.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Not a fan. I'm giving it a fair try. I'm going to drink them. But Tut made the comment that you'd never buy it, but if someone handed one to you, you'd take it.
Your eye throw in their face.
There'd have to be literally nothing else to drink.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, if honestly, you made a comment, we were joking about it, but you're like, I'm the same way that if my idea...
Yeah, you know what? I might actually take water over this.
If I'm gonna drink, which I do regularly,
yeah.
I wouldn't... My days of going and saying, you know what, I'm going to go pick up a 12-pack of Bud Light, yeah, I don't do that anymore. But honestly, if you said, hey, we've got Summer Shandy and Bud Light, I'd say give you a Bud Light. And to me, that's making a bold statement because I don't drink those.
If you bought a 12-pack of this at the house, would you consider adding vodka to it to see what happened?
The doctor would consider adding a little bit of grape juice.
In the name of science, you
have
to.
In the name of science.
Is that what we're calling it now? Science?
I'd call it something.
That said, this is my second least liked beer that we've ever done.
What was the other one?
The Not Your Father's Root Beer.
That was almost sickly sweet. This is not as sickly sweet as that.
No.
Yeah, I like this better than that.
I'm about to crack my third beer on this one. I couldn't even make it two.
You and Cody quit it too.
We'll see, because I didn't like the root beer, but I ended up making my way through the whole sixer. So yeah, we'll see. I'm starting to have trouble with this one.
You and I were kind of like Cheryl. We're heroes when it came to the root beer. We were the Burt Hardens of Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Yeah.
That's not working out.
If we walked into the factory tour at Not Your Father's Root Beer, they'd be like, do you know who that is? That's John Mincy.
Do you know whose brother this is?
Do you know whose brother this is? Okay, so thumbs down on the movie. Thumbs down on the beer.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the beer. It's not something I would drink anytime soon.
Yeah.
But it's different. I'm not hating it as much as you guys. I wish there's a little more going on to it to play with the cigar a little bit, because the cigar is fairly one note. I'm only about the halfway point to your last third.
I think again, though, you even listed like specific, I'm not trying to be amusing, you listed specific height and circumstances. You're like, if I was outside in 100 degree heat in the summer, I mean, my whole thing is,
if it was July 18th, 4 p.m.
Yeah, you have to say to yourself, would I, under any circumstances, if I was at home on a Saturday night after dinner, would I pick up a sixer of this again to drink? And for me, the answer is steadfastly no.
Correct. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, except you're about this in your personal life. And...
No.
Okay. And I'll be honest, if I was looking for something like this on a hot summer day just to chug while grilling, or just, I know I'm going to sweat it out the minute I'm drinking it at the pool or whatever, I'd go Miller High Life.
I'd rather have Coors Light.
Well, let's not be ridiculous.
That's a good hunting beer.
What were those CrossFit jokers drinking at your party? Michelob Ultra?
Wheatgrass juice. Those guys don't drink beer.
Were they drinking booze?
I have no earthly idea. Yeah.
Did you bring your own?
No. I didn't drink a lot. They had a sangria there.
Of course.
Austin.
It was pretty good.
All locally produced fruits and vegetables in the sangria.
Well, it was like a Peruvian sangria. It was actually pretty cool. Well, the house that we went to, they're from Peru. There was the mother immigrated.
Did you acted like you knew? Oh,
I tried.
Fuck
to,
does that
I
mean?
I was just seeing if you guys. Okay, knows all about his Peruvian sangrias.
Well, there's hints of llama wool in it. It's really nice.
Llama?
Yes, llama wool. You have a seasoning, an after hint of, or an afterbirth, if you will, of hay. It's.
I don't want to have an afterbirth of anything that I'm eating or drinking.
I don't know.
Well, let's flush the
I think it's only like the second time I've ever had sangria, so it was kind of like...
Let's flush the
spiked fruit punch.
Afterbirth of Bikini Summer down the toilet and get on to the next film, because this one really worked for
me. This one is all of the good things that that Bikini Summer had or could have been is magnified. One might say ad nauseum.
Big time ad nauseum. Is that redundant? Big time ad nauseum? I think ad nauseum is...
No.
Okay. The Bikini Car Wash Company, 1992. Directed by Ed Hansen, Yak Boy.
Hey.
Who, of course, directed Taking It Off, 1985.
Taking It Off.
Taking It All Off. Remember that song?
No.
Have you never seen Taking It Off?
I don't think I have.
Yak Boy's seen it.
Oh, yes.
Did we see it together?
I think we did.
That's something that I'd like to delve into.
Exactly.
I'd like to know a little more about that experience.
He also directed...
Okay. All right. Moving on.
He Taking It Off in 85. Taking It All Off. And that's one we saw. Taking It All Off.
Taking It All Off.
In 87. Party Plane in 1991. And then completing his Taking It Off trilogy with Taking It Off Out West in 1995. I never saw that one.
The trilogy.
Yeah, the Taking It Off trilogy. He's like the George Lucas of gigantic boobs. He co-wrote this movie. First of all, we have seen Taking It All Off.
Yes.
Because I remember that theme song. Taking it off, taking it all off. But I have no memory of the film itself.
No.
And there was that. Jerking It Off, which never got released.
Cody and I put the tape in the VCR, put our backs together, and, you know, summer nights.
Hey.
I believe everything about the backs together.
It's bad we didn't have any summer shandy then.
That was our Unikini summer.
Ugh.
It was too.
We really need something to. We need to add vodka to this immediately to begin erasing these memories.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you, listeners. That was 2 weeks ago we did that. But we're different men now. Like Cheryl after that swim, we reevaluated ourselves.
Reevaluated your lives.
And we're drinking shandies now. And
we really need the wisdom of Mad Dog here to.
Well, more interesting, he co-wrote this movie with a guy who I'm a big fan of. I can't fathom him being involved in this film.
Burt Hardron.
Burt Hardron. Burt Hardron.
Burt Hardin. No. George Buck Flowers of every John Carpenter movie fame.
Really?
You guys will probably know him best as the drifter turned rich guy in They Live. Everybody's doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
man.
Oh my God, yeah, yeah.
He was also in Escape from New York.
Yeah.
He plays Village of the Damned. He was a janitor in the. He plays janitors, bums, homeless guys. The Carpenter loves the guy, and I always love when he pops up. He co-wrote this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you got Ed Hansen. So you got Ed Hansen on board and George Buck Flowers,
and
winner.
It just really questions why they needed writers at all for this movie.
He was also one of the fishermen in The Fog in the opening scene. I mean, the guy's in every Carpenter movie. But, you know, They Live is the one that he actually got some good lines.
Yeah, and, he got some screen time on.
Yeah, which it's weird. He doesn't appear in the film. But he produced it and he co-wrote it. Okay.
I was about to say, let's not go too wild. I mean, this is Bikini.
That'll be the last time I refer to this. There's nothing Carpenter-esque about the Bikini Car Wash Company.
Well, you know, I'm going to say that he didn't appear in the film. I just wasn't looking for any drifters or homeless people. He could be somewhere in the background there.
He could have been camouflaged.
This was one of those movies where there could have been subliminal things going on that I didn't see.
That's true. And when that, and
like, you know that old thing where they do, like, the dancing gorilla on those corporate videos? You're like, watch it again in slow motion. I'm yeah, like, there, well, there's a reason I didn't see it.
There's a lot of trippy stuff in this movie that just kind of... No. You can't stop to think about it because every time you do, there's a giant pair of titties. And you're like, was it? Whoa. What the... That's crazy.
Awesome. It was very Kubrickian, yes. Some Clockwork Orange.
There's nothing
movie.
Kubrickian.
No.
No. we open with the title card, Alan B. Burstein Presents. And all I could think of was Samuel Bronkowitz.
Samuel L.
Samuel
Bronkowitz.
L. What about
Bronkowitz?
Those cheesy video game sort of...
That's what... All right. Well, so Alan B. Burstein presents this thing. And just like Bikini Summer, we open up with a sweet-ass beach montage where a bumbling out-of-towner from Iowa walks up and down the beach. He's slipping in the sand, and his suitcase is...
He's so out of his element.
He's so out of his element.
It's a montage.
He's walking up and down the beach asking babes to help find the sun...
Montage.
the Sunshine Car Wash. He's trying to find this car wash. And this one chick says, "Get away from me and my tits, you freak." That's George Buck Flowers writing, if I've ever heard it. I knew it when I...
Well, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard that. Get away from me and my titties. Can I just get away from you and stay near the titties? They're big enough that I don't want it to be close to you.
Well, she was so annoying. And these chicks, by the way, are just topless on the beach.
Yes.
Like, they're just laying. They don't care. They're just... There was some kind of decor in Bikini Summer. Like, most of them... These girls are all topless. Like, it's all unikini. Unikinis? Monokinis?
Topless.
They're all topless.
Just,
they got
their bottoms on. It's all, they're just wearing bottoms. Well, we then cut to a cheesy computer graphic of the United States map set to a rock and guitar anthem. And it shows the drifter, the guy from Iowa that's bumbling around the beach. It shows his little car driving. it's like an Atlas shot of the United States.
But it's supposed to be 92. You could have used something that was like a Super Nintendo. This looked like fucking Crystal Castles or something from 1983.
That was the budget.
But you couldn't tell where he was coming from or where he was going. I didn't know if he was going to California or Florida. Like it gave no insight.
It looked like he was going to Lego Town on those graphics.
Well, they pan across this thing. It's so vague. You can't tell really what it's trying to get across. There's also, as he's walking around the beach, some weird Terminator-like POV shots to where you'll see a chick on the beach topless, and it'll come up like... and like scrolling data on the side. And that's never explained.
No.
And
that
the
was
sound
so
effects. Like
so damn random.
And you know me. And yeah, this is the first thing you said to me. You're like, I know you're going to love this movie. It's got all these fart sound effects.
It's like sound like when Shaggy and Scooby run and Scooby-Doo
every time
screeching
someone,
wheels.
Every time someone moves, it's like, and like fart sounds. And I loved it. That's a George Buck Flowers staple, too.
Is it?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. But yeah, the Terminator things make no sense. Whoever's scouting the beach with his Terminator view. After the credits, when Jack approaches a gathering of hot bikini babes...
Was his name Jack?
His name was Jack.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I...
Yeah. That's sad. He's our main dude. Yeah, his name is Jack. Jack Mayhoff. he's overshadowed by a pantyhose mask flasher and a trench coat, the doctor style. He's talking to these chicks. All of a sudden, this flasher comes out and opens up his trench coat and waves his ding-a-ling at him, accompanied by like really funny comical sound effects, like boing.
Yeah, they did have the boing.
And then the hunky beach dudes that are there chase him off. But luckily, the girls take pity on poor old Jack. And they give him directions to his uncle's car wash, the Sunshine Car Wash. Did anybody else think early on that Jack's voice was identical to Robert Carradine's Lewis in Revenge of the Nerds? Like his voice?
Yeah, it was pretty similar.
It sounded so similar to Lewis's voice. Like I couldn't get past it for a while. It was really freaking me out. I mean, he kind of looked like Lewis, but he's kind of beefier.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, he was a little bit...
But anyway, so I'll call him Iowa Jack, finally finds the car wash, and... It's interesting. The business is slow, and there's really these two dudes that wash all the cars. One of them, Ralph, washing cars, is played none other, it makes sense somehow, by Jim Wynorski. We've mentioned him a lot on the show. He directed Swamp Thing 2 and The Hills Have Thighs.
Really?
Man, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Two-Headed Shark Attack. Like, the guy makes like 10 movies a year, but that's it. I knew it when I saw it. Like, that's Jim Wynorski. So he was there, and we meet Jack's uncle Elmer. It turns out he has crazy allergies. He just can't take it anymore. His allergies are just crippling him. So much sneezing. It seems to be it. Like, he just can't stop sneezing. Well, the workers, these two dudes, don't immediately take to Jack running things. But that's why he's come there. He's going to run the thing while his uncle gets his sneezing under control.
Good God.
That's another Jack... George Buck Flowers. What can we do to get the uncle have to turn over ownership? What if he just sneezes a lot?
That's the best mechanic you can come up with. Yeah, roll with it.
But the bikini babes from the beach that Jack met show up to wash their... Was it a blazer, Yanks?
Yes, it was.
It's a blazer.
It was, in fact, a blazer.
I was most happy about that.
Which Cody owned. We drove around a Blazer many nights in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Summer nights. Unikini summer nights.
I don't know what you and Cody were doing in that Blazer.
Cody was my Bert Hardin.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We'll edit that out.
Can we really put some vodka in the shandy?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We really need some vodka.
Doesn't have any vodka.
Well, they show up to wash their Blazer, and they set up a date with Jack on the beach for later that night. He's going to meet these chicks. So. How's that work out? Nice, huh? Out at the nighttime campfire, the two beach dudes are there trying to gauge the girls' interest in their quote-unquote footlong meat whistles.
Oh, jeez.
There's a band name.
Footlong meat whistles.
Seriously, get the vodka.
Now, hurry. Spike Lee ever have any references to footlong meat whistles in his movies? Mm.
No, and there's a reason people know who he is and don't know Jim Wynorski or George Flowers is.
I like picking on Spike Lee because I know Tuttle thinks he's really good.
He is. It's a national treasure.
Burt Hardin's a national... George Buck Flowers is a national treasure.
I'm not arguing that.
But the girls aren't showing any immediate interest in their footlong meat whistles.
Don't those chicks have some sort of ulterior motive?
Yes, which isn't really made clear till the very end. Even then, it's very murky. But anyway, when Jack shows...
God knows I wasn't trying to make sense of it.
So they diss these guys, and then Jack
I'm
shows up.
I'm trying to latch on to any aspect of plot.
As the hottie leader of the Good chicks, luck. Melissa is the leader of the chicks.
Who, she's, my God.
She's
whoa.
Hot.
Oh.
She is hot.
Jesus Marimba. Yeah.
What you just said. She's gorgeous. When she immediately leads Jack away from the group for some one-on-one time, the dudes give him a great...
Later, dude.
Ripple!
Which is a total. They give him the rip him.
Later, dude.
Which I didn't realize. I used that in one of my movies. And it was a good later. I love later, dudes. It's a good sign-off. Accompanied by when they leave some more fart sound effects, which I didn't...
you know.
I didn't know if it was supposed to be Melissa or Jack or... It was like, later, dudes. And as the couple walked off, they're like... That was fun.
It's like a real movie, Jack.
I don't know what the reason was, but it was an awesome reason. Whatever George Buck Flowers was thinking there.
Whatever George Buck Flowers wants, George Buck Flowers gets.
You kind of sounded like George Buck Flowers right there.
Whatever George Buck Flowers wants, George
hey,
Buck Flowers
I
gets.
Hey, I know how it is.
Well, the dudes then, one of them name is, of course, Stanley. Like the Paladro?
We are not even 5 minutes into this film, people.
He talks the girls into giving up their bikini tops so they can go catch fish with him. And they hesitate for like a second.
Miraculously, it works.
They're like, hey, babes, how about you take off your tops so we can catch some fish with them? They're like, oh, come on, for real? He's like, yeah, for real. Like, okay. Well, Melissa,
I'm just saying there's parts in southern Georgia on the Travis Tritt tour that shit works.
Every time I bring up the tour, it gains more states. It went from like a one-time gig to now they're touring the entire...
Hey, Tut, take your underpants off. I want to catch some catfish with it.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That happened in Florida, by the way.
T stands for Night Terrors for Tut.
Oh, the tour is dark and full of tears.
TNCC is pro Travis Tritt.
We are a big pro Travis Tritt.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Travis Tritt? You like him, right?
Yes.
Get him to play pub, no?
Yeah, he might be. He's a little expensive, man.
Really?
Yeah. Go get that Chris Stapleton dude. He's ripping off Travis's entire act.
Yeah. I see that. Well, Melissa takes Jack into a seaside little shanty.
I'm just joking. I've never seen a Chris Stapleton show in my life.
A lean-to, perhaps?
So I think it's more of a lean-to than a shanty.
Do they have Shandy in the shanty? Whoa, yeah.
A seaside shanty?
And were they singing a shanty? Shanty? Shanty. A pirate shanty?
It was a shack. She took him to an old abandoned lifeguard shack. and seduces him to what sounds like a Bert Hardin love ballad. It's very 80s rock ballad.
Sometimes the efficacy of taking someone to an abandoned shack on the beach can't be questioned. Ask Tuttle for his Travis trip toward Florida.
I'm just saying it was the 80s.
Lake I Want to Fuck a Guy.
It was the 80s, man. Everything went up.
Been there, done that. Remember Spring Break 97?
Oh. Trying to forget.
But it is a very Bert Hardin type love ballad that's playing in the shack.
That actually happens a lot in this movie.
Yeah, and only the one and fucking only Bert Hardin could write rock songs like this. Like, they just come from the soul.
Only Bert Hardin can make sex in a lean-to on the beach seem sexy.
Well, at least without lots of booze involved. as the other beach partiers fuck like bunnies under the moonlight. They're fucking all over the place. Melissa proposes a deal to Jack. She doesn't screw him. She says, if they help raise enough to cover his uncle's medical bills for sneezing, and they'll pay the car wash's overhead, he will share the overage money with her and the girls to cover their lofty vacation expenses. Apparently, they've come down there with no money. They have no place to stay.
They're gorgeous. They can do that.
And they're looking for some party money.
The world's a different place for the beautiful people.
She somehow has a contract ready for him to sign on her giant boobs. Literally, she puts a contract and, he signs them. And it's a done deal. They're in business together. So the next morning, there's a plethora of bikini babes show up at the Sunshine Car Wash, and they're doing their thing to bring in new business to the car wash. They're rubbing their bare boobs against people's windshields. They're taking down their bikini bombs and, just bouncing their ass up against the cars.
This movie has soul. It has soul.
They're going out into the street and waving their boobs out to traffic, naked, trying to get people to come in. And Jack's just sitting there smiling like a big dipshit collecting the money.
For some reason, I've got a picture of Ryan. Get your ass out on the sidewalk and sell. Bring them in. Call to that crowd. Call them in here.
Swirl your titties counterclockwise. That tells the cars which way to pull in. It's science.
It's funny because it's true.
Ryan is Cody's brother and business partner and one of our best friends.
Except it's Cody out there in a zebra skin thong trying to wave everybody in the bar.
Shake faster, Cody! Did you iron your unikini this morning? Is it unikini or...
I don't care. I really don't care. It's topless. It is topless. I've never gone to a strip club and said, ooh, look at the unikini up there.
Maybe you're just not a classy guy like I am. So they're bringing in business like crazy. People are swerving off the road to get into this car wash. Jack makes an ill-advised pass at Melissa. Hey, how about we pick up where we left off at that abandoned shanty out in the beach? But she's not feeling it, which leads us to a fucking amazing, awesome titty montage.
It's a montage.
Of course.
Where the girls just sponge each other down and soak each other's boobs, and they lift their tops off, and the Bert Hardin song's playing. But here's the thing, this whole movie, they're using the same stuff they're washing these cars with, like these dirty sponges, and what are those cloths they use to wash cars with?
Chamois.
Chamois. They'd wash the car, and then they turn around and, squeegee each other's boobs off.
I didn't have a problem with that.
Me neither. From a hygiene standpoint, it's just, you just cleaned bugs off the front of that blazer, now you're... But they spend more time washing each other's boobs than cars. But everybody's just standing around like...
Wait a minute, they never even washed my car!
But I just pay for it. All right.
I've done 10 car washes today, my car is still filthy.
Dirtier than when I left home this morning.
I don't even have a car.
It was funny. All the bike rallies and bike shows, you'd always have the bikini bike wash, and you could always see this guy.
This rings a bell with you,
sort of, because you would always see guys over there, but there'd hardly ever be any bikes because all the guys are like, "I'm not letting her touch my bike."
Well, if you looked at this clientele and these cars coming through here, there wasn't a lot of... these guys were...
Me sitting there in a little 1992 Datsun?
Yeah!
The doctor hasn't been to the hospital in 4 days.
Doctor, we have an emergency in the OR. Eh.
Stick a tube down her nose and I'll be there in
be there 4 hours.
But, I mean, this movie, more than any other movie maybe I've seen in my entire life, takes montages to just thrilling new heights. And the minute they start the music and start doing it, you know...
Montage!
You've got 4 minutes at least of just... that's what we're doing here.
And just orgy sex going on.
And it's so much more just sexual than the first Bikini Summer.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just... The girls are doing stuff to each other. They're... you know,
people are getting porked in the car wash.
I'd get interest. I'd get interest for the first 2 minutes of the montage, and then I'd lose interest the third minute of the montage, and then I'd start to pick up interest.
Then all of a sudden they would show the two dudes, then I'd interest pick back up again.
And there were some dudes hanging around the car wash. They come mainly into play later, unfortunately. Wish they would have been in there sooner. What?
What?
Call me a psycho?
I wasn't talking to you.
It's a great 80s rockin' montage. But just as Jack and everyone else is enjoying the fuck out of this car wash, Donovan Drake stomps in and tries to regulate it. FDA style.
Thanks, America.
Just like Bikini Summer. The city councilwoman. So, yeah. Oh, adults having a good time, enjoying a legal product.
We're going to stop this.
Better stop this. See?
Thanks, Puritans.
The film is introducing a true society ill here. Regulation. Nanny.
It's always been that way.
Nanny
man.
State. Yeah. Spike Lee-esque, the message we're getting here.
That's right.
Cue the montage.
He gives the orders, but he gives the orders under the district attorney. He's like, I'm the assistant district attorney, and I'm shutting
assistant you guys down. Assistant district attorney.
Well, the car wash babes have their own guardian angel. This lawyer chick shows up out of nowhere. And
she's butch, Cena Easton looking girl.
Yeah, very short, blonde, croppy hair.
Not as tall.
She kind of reminds me of the blonde from Police Academy movies.
Yeah.
Leslie Easterbrook.
Except not as tall.
Not as tall and not as...
Endowed.
Endowed. Well, she's okay. But she shows up and saves their ass. Her big thing is, these cops are illegally intruding on your business and I can fight this for you. She may not get Jack's name and his cause right, but she has enough bravado, enough balls to make Donovan Drake, of all people's, back off with his police escort and run to the hills. Good thing she was there.
That's right.
Well, one of Melissa's titty soldiers seeks out Donovan Drake, because they have their own little... They're like, you know what? We can settle this. We can,
titty soldiers.
We can... that was in the credits. It was titty soldier number one, titty soldier number two. Did you guys watch the end credits of these movies?
No.
The names they came up with for all these girls was just classic.
Titty soldier.
Well, I was about to say, as soon as I saw the end, I was out of there.
Melissa sends out one of her car wash skanks.
Titty soldiers.
Titty soldiers. Let's stick with that. To seduce Donovan Drake, and she's going to handle it her way. She wants to understand our plight, you know. She's given up her body for the cause. Hero?
Yes.
I think so. She's a hero.
Sure.
Cue naked montage.
And then we go to another naked montage. Actually, we go back to the bikini car wash, and the topless chicks are just washing cars. It is another montage of them just ad nauseum just... washing cars for like another 5 minutes. They're not getting shut down.
I do love the banners in the background. Best hand job in town. It's good marketing. Good marketing.
I'm just thinking of some
check out our deals, you'll get blown away.
I'm just trying to think of like some rock video or something like that, going, now we really need a director, someone who can handle the art of montage. Who do we got? Well, we got the director from Bikini Car Wash, the editor from that. Really? Bikini Car Wash? Have you seen his work? It's montages.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking of Bikini Summer. Those montages left something to be desired.
Exactly.
Wait, he's worked with George Buck Flowers?
This guy's going places.
Yeah, Well, there's a trio.
If I see another montage.
In this montage, there's a trio of top-heavy Sudsonistas.
Sudsonistas,
that's,
nice.
That's what I'm going to call them.
Sudsonistas.
I like it.
A trio of top-heavy Sudsonistas that for some insanely insane reason, they're actually dancing inside the car wash, like where the big flaps the wash the cars. They're dancing in there, and like they're getting hit with those things. Again, no cars are being washed. They're just washing each other's bodies, which is great. And they're just rubbing each other's boobs and stuff, and they're just rocking out. It's just an endless blazing loop of like guitar solos and thudding drums, and I loved it.
Thudding titties.
Thudding titties. What'd you guys think of that sequence?
I can't differentiate one sequence from the other.
Exactly. I didn't really think it had the flow of montage number 3, but I thought that it kind of captured the spirit of montage 13.
This was my favorite montage up to this point in the film.
Well, they should have been well practiced by now.
It's like, what are they doing in the car wash?
Does it really
like
matter?
The tracks, like the does when you drive really on the track, they're like straddling those. And it doesn't matter. You're right. But I enjoyed it.
What's the point of this? All right, put it in another montage. This is ridiculous. They're questioning the film.
Well, meanwhile, outside, the helpful lawyer, her name's Miss Bobby Canova, is introducing Jack and Melissa to the superbly mustached Judge Hawthorne. He's cruised in with his wife, and he's paying them a courtesy visit, professional courtesy to the lawyer. They're social friends. And the lawyer feels confident that the notoriously frigid and repressed judge will take one look at all these chicks in bikinis and tell them they can stay in business. All their legal problems will go away. They just have to just do some little dancing around him, and he'll be fine. Unfortunately, one of the car wash babes, the Sudsonistas, is having some technical issues with his vacuum hose, like the vacuum carpets. And before you know it, she's trying to get it to work. They do that thing like in Maximum Overdrive with the gas thing. Where, like, yeah. She keeps looking into
she keeps
it.
Looking
like,
into
I keep
it.
Waiting for it to like suck her face in. Which that would be awesome. But it doesn't. She finally gets it to work right as she turns, and it sucks off the judge's wife's mini dress. And she's wearing some lingerie. Like,
it humiliates her.
But she's got like stockings on. Supposedly she and her husband never fool around, but she's dressed like a penthouse model. And sucks it right off, and the judge is, you know, livid, obviously. And to make matters worse, right as this is going on, District Attorney A.B. Quinn shows up. And the judge orders the DA immediately shut this place down. It's over. It's over for the Sunshine Car Wash. Or is it? And here, ladies and germs, is where the Bikini Car Wash Company takes an unexpected Scooby-Doo-like turn. They've been doing the Scooby-Doo sound effects now, but now the storyline actually takes a Scooby-Doo-like twist. You see, one of the bikini babes has a keen, perceptive eye, and trusting her hunch, she deliberately spills a giant 7-Eleven Big Gulp onto District Attorney A.B. Quinn's crotch, causing him to run inside to dry himself off at the car wash. She then follows him in the restroom and snaps some Polaroids of him undressing. He dries himself off and he quickly marches out. And just as he's about to shut the place down permanently, the Sudsonista sleuth declares to everyone that A.B. Quinn is in fact the Flasher.
What?
That's what they said.
Boing.
Boing. Who's been terrorizing the beach this whole time. You see, she had taken some shots of the Flasher.
I will say I have to like the DJ, the radio DJs that you hear every now and then, when they talk about the Flasher.
Yeah, a little more production, a little more thought put into things.
It's establishing a world.
Establishing the world of the Sunshine Car Wash. Layers. But she had taken some pictures of the flasher in his trench coat, and his penis matches the pictures that she just took of A.B. Quinn's penis in the bathroom. Actually, I say they match perfectly, but there's nothing perfect about it. What the giveaway is, apparently there's a giant pimple on his nutsack that is evident in both. Or it could have been on his shaft, I guess. They don't really go into it. There's a pimple somewhere down there. Doctor, what?
Once again, Porky's. There is a mole on the penis.
Oh, I never thought about that. That's good. Well, this guy has a pimple on his penis, or his nutsack. And that's the, you know, the... What's the Kennedy film? The Zapruder...
It's the magic Zapruder bullet film?
Zapruder film.
Zapruder film? That's the Zapruder film.
The Zapruder film?
The Zapruder film?
Damn you, Asani.
Damn you, Asani. Well, Judge Hawthorne remarks that it must be the nutsack pimple that frightened all those beachgoers, because it certainly couldn't have been the size of it. We'll dig in there.
Am I the only one who kind of had the cigar strengthened up in that last third?
I am just now gaying the last third.
A little bit, yeah. I've kind of stuck with it.
Any new flavors or just strength-wise?
No, it just strengthened up a little bit. It still got that cedar overtone. The mint was just barely visible around the halfway mark and then just disappeared real quick.
I never got the mint.
See, I'm kind of thinking that the mint was influenced by the beer. But it did strengthen up a little bit. I wish the rest of the cigar would have had this. I mean, it's still a mild cigar, but at least there's some kind of heft to it now. I wish the rest of the cigar had this kind of profile.
I can see that. I can see it turning up a little bit strength-wise, which would be a great thing at this point.
Yeah.
You want to wait or you want to guess price?
Let's see. That was a big boy. That was a
Churchill.
Churchill. $11.47.
Doctor, care to wager a guess?
It's like the price is right. I'll go $11.48. No,
damn you, asshole.
I'm going to say it's probably... it's got to be double digits. I'm going to... That's probably a pretty good guess. I'd say around...
Now, are you guys basing this on the company?
The company.
Right.
I know nothing about the company. I'm just guessing that because it's a Churchill that it had to be... I'll go a buck lower. I'll say $10.50.
That's good.
Go $8. $8.
$8.
You can get these right now on Famous Smoke Shop. Singles will run you $11. If you buy it in a 5-pack, it'll run you just a penny under $10.
Yeah.
So $10 basically for what we're smoking tonight.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Like I said, I got a third left here. I can definitely foresee what you said, it picking up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been a nice smoke.
Yeah.
Not a lot of complexity, but we actually dislike the other Caldwell entry we had. We had a hard time.
I know that there's people that absolutely love this company and love the cigars, or they say they love the cigars. I really liked Robert Caldwell in our interview. The dude was a cool effing bastard. He was just so fun to talk with, but. I'm just not in sync with his cigar vision, and that's okay. I mean, that's,
well, you know, it's funny. One of the things we talked about, and I think this is in the interview. We talked about so much after the interview. He's not a Maduro guy. Doesn't smoke Maduros, and he's strictly lighter shade guy, which the King wasn't a Maduro either. It was a darker shade rather. But I'm gonna wait till I'm done to give my final verdict on it. So far I am enjoying it. There is a Caldwell cigar that they make, the Sevillana.
Okay, I don't think I've had that one.
It's one of my favorite Connecticut shade cigars. They quit making them. I got a box of 2 years ago maybe.
Yeah.
I'd heard good things and they were on sale. It was cheap.
Yeah.
Like $35-$40 for a 10-pack.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of... Yeah. It's part of... they have these, their main lines, but they have what's called their JV, their junior varsity lines, which is more inexpensive, but original blends.
Yeah.
And, man, I really like that cigar, and I still got some of them. So, it's a complex cigar.
Yeah.
And it's a really good morning cigar. I think it would go really good with a summer beer. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to wait on this one.
Okay.
But,
yeah, it's just one of those things. It's kind of like beer. If you don't like the cigar, move on. Because there's other people that like it. Just like the Shandy. There's millions of people that love this beer. Cody even said that he likes this beer.
I like it.
I'm drinking the hell out of it.
Q Montage 47.
Actually, we are up for another montage.
Bring another round.
So the judge makes the wisecrack. You know, it must be the pimple that frightened him. It certainly wasn't the size. I have a note here, Tuttle style.
That would be something I said.
Must have been some ill feelings for Tuttle that night.
Must be the herpes that scared him.
Well, under some intense
have
questioning.
You been talking with Travis Trent?
Does tweeting count as talking?
Wait, did I play for Travis Trent or Travis Trent?
Who?
Does sexting count as talking?
Did you call me a psycho?
I wasn't talking to you.
Under some intense questioning, DA A.B. Quinn confesses. This guy's a real character, this district attorney. He confesses to being the flasher. He actually snaps and turns like batshit crazy. He starts talking about how his mom used to walk around naked all around when he was a kid. And now he just can't stand naked women on the beach.
Now it's like one of those bad 80s slasher movies.
It's really turned into a bad slasher mommy scenario.
Here comes the motive.
And he's just watching these girls flaunt their skin all day. It drives him crazy. And so he decides to make a run for it, even though he's surrounded by half-naked dudes and girls. He's immediately dogpiled at the car wash. Like 20 dudes and chicks jump on top of him.
That's why you don't make waves at the CrossFit party.
And Uncle Elmer shows up. He's out of the hospital, apparently. And he starts tearing bodies off of the dog pile. And they get to the bottom, and he's gone.
What? Smooth, slippery son of a bitch.
Yeah, A.B. Quinn snuck out of there somehow. And you see him, like, Scooby-Doo style, like, come on, you guys don't love that stuff?
I do. Yeah, I really do.
I do too.
No, I don't. I don't.
But
I'll resist every fart noise and edit that you force me to do.
But the whole thing was very Scooby-Doo, like the flashers, District Attorney E.B. Quinn. Like, I would have got away from you naked car wash chicks.
One for you damn naked kids.
Well, they all start running around looking for him. And while they do that, that old silent movie piano music starts playing. So good.
I think I was drunk at that point.
So from now on, this is all new to you.
Right? Sounds like something I didn't see.
Well, it turns out he's hiding in the office of the
true
car wash.
True words.
We're going to do this sober.
I appreciate your honesty.
I watched it from start to finish. I don't remember the piano. I don't remember the old piano.
You remember little piano music? Little Charlie
Chaplin?
Oh, yeah. Well, three bikini babes who he had prosecuted in the past see him go into the office, and like it's revenge time because they know how much he hates naked chicks. So they go in the office, they find him, they hold him down and handcuff him to this chair.
Now, this I do remember very much.
And they proceed another montage.
I was filtering.
They give him three lap dances or strip teases, which of course drives him even crazier because he hates boobs and he hates. So they're all just rubbing their titties in his face. He's like, ah. And then it cuts again to that Terminator. Like, as he's looking at the girls in front of him, it's the Terminator screen. And it's like starts flashing overload.
It's him all along, the Terminator
screen. It turns out, is he a cyborg?
I wonder if that was like part of the script that just got.
And they just couldn't like afford to make him a robot.
Right, and just got cut.
Abandoned
just,
it. I think he.
I bet you that's what happened.
Yes.
Well, sent back on the earth to clothe women.
Back to the
radio, chatter early on talked about like aliens and whatnot. So I think there was like an alien angle in there somewhere.
Yeah, I missed that on the radio.
Yeah.
So District Attorney A.B. Quinn was a futuristic cyborg from outer space.
Yes.
Could be.
But then what was all the
there's
time
a deleted scene. There's an Ellie Groombridge thing where it's just all that fucking gooey wires and everything getting pulled out.
But why was he? What about his mommy walking naked around the house?
I don't know.
His alien mom?
I think it was programming. I think they went back and reshot a scene to make it less We can't afford that. Go back and make him a crazy guy.
Never in the history of film or podcast has Bikini Car Wash ever had this sort of in-depth analysis.
That's why we're number one.
If only George Buck Flowers were alive, maybe we could tweet him and ask, you know, if District Attorney A.B. Quinn was a cyborg.
Actually, I bet that would be a fun dude to have a podcast with, man.
He passed away.
Oh, I know that, but I bet he'd be... Oh, actually, I didn't, but...
Well, they're twirling their titties in this guy's face and just driving him crazy. And, and then the targets on the Terminator screen, try to center in on their nipples. You see that?
It's pretty sweet, yes. The cyborg is short-circuiting. Turns out he does like tits.
I guess he was sent back to 1992 to assassinate, or not assassinate, just flash bikini babes.
It was a short in his programming.
Interesting theory.
His mission got screwed up somewhere. well, cyborg or not, he's rushed off to jail, and in an unexpected turn of events, Judge Hawthorne tells the car wash's lawyer, Bobby Canova, that the place can stay open for business as long as they want. You see, boys, while this was going on, all this naked titties flying around made him aroused for the first time, and he and his wife started getting busy in his Corvette.
Started getting busy. She's riding it like fucking the Lone Ranger rides Silver.
He tells her, "You've made us feel things and do things we haven't done in 20 years, which is weird because his wife looks like she's 25 years old. I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, so he's a man reborn. That was weird, that 20-year thing. She was so young. So as the happy couple speeds off in his sweet-ass Corvette, the bikini Sudsonista, the one with the malfunctioning hose, she gets it to work again. She's still fucking with this thing. She accidentally turns it on the lawyer, Bobby Canova, and it sucks her dress off. And it's just this weird thing where, she's suddenly naked, and she starts doing a Dom DeLuise loud. Slapping her thigh like, look at these. And then boom, montage. All of a sudden her and this other chick are with some dude in a Speedo just sponging each other off for a good 10 minutes. Seemed like a good 10 minutes. Well, the other chicks get back inside the car wash where the cloth flaps are there, and they start dancing and scrubbing each other off too.
What a car wash. My God, what a car wash.
I don't see how they're making any money. They're not washing any cars.
People are just throwing money at him at that point.
I think so. That whole thing with her hysterically just laughing it off, and then just boom, she's grinding and washing and scrubbing. I think we can all agree that montage was the best one.
Yes.
Because you had the chicks in the car wash scrubbing each other, but then you had Bobby Canova...
And Dom DeLuise laughing.
That dude with
the banana. You just like the dude in the Speedo getting soaked down.
It was like a red zebra patterned bikini. What are they called? Banana hammocks? What are we doing with our lives?
Cue montage 93.
Oh, but then the DA's assistant, meanwhile, he's out in that limousine banging some chick out the moonroof. Like, it's devolved into full-blown sex.
Everybody's just fucking.
It is just a
sunshine car wash.
It's a huge orgy at this point.
Democracy is won, and let's just start fucking like bunny rabbits.
America!
Take that, Russia.
And every once in a while, they just cut to the dude and that his ass and the little Speedo, and they, show the girls squeegeeing his little butt cheeks. Oh, how was that?
Why is it you mentioned that one scene? Huh? Why do you keep going back to that scene?
That was his favorite scene.
Did you call me a psycho?
Yes, I did.
I've literally never used this many exclamation points in my notes before. Like, my hand just can't even make an exclamation
point.
Wait
a minute,
anymore.
There's a drawing of that red Speedo.
Commercial break. I'm like Dynamo.
Cut to commercial!
Oh, by the way, I should mention, all this is set to a rockin' anthem called One Good Reason by the band Shake City.
Oh, Shake City.
If you need one good reason to rent Bikini Car Wash Company, that scene was it with that little Speedo.
But now, if you didn't love Shake City enough, the second band on that list, I had to look it up, called New Haven.
New Haven. Those two bands did all the music for the entire film.
Effin' awesome.
I do remember seeing New Haven in the opening credits.
Yeah, no, New Haven and Shake City. Could you get a double bill of them at the pub?
I think they're all dead at
AIDS.
This point.
It's AIDS, too. At the very end of the montage, one of the sudsy naked sudsanistas is snapping photos of the girls. She brought her camera in there, and she's taking photos of the girls in the car wash. And then at the end, she turns to us and starts taking pictures of us, like, knowingly.
You pervert.
She's, like, catching us. Like, I gotcha. She breaks the fourth wall. Did you feel kind of, like, dirty?
I'm violated.
Sitting there with your pants around your ankles, just having a good old whack.
Trying to,
and you're like,
trying to reach into my TV screen. Give me that camera. Always put a little piece of tape over that camera on your phone.
What?
Cue montage 137.
That was just weird that she broke the fourth wall there and took a picture of us watching. Like, you can't judge us. You're watching this shit. Touche, Sudsanista. Yeah. Touche.
Thank you, George Buckflowers.
I feel like, are we in some kind of trouble here? Maybe we should talk to Bobby, our attorney, Bobby Canova. But she's over there scrubbing that dude's butt.
She's busy right now.
She's busy. Man, she got the spirit of things really fast.
Bobby Canova's and Bobby Cock Heaven.
She was just loving it. Well, the next morning, we're back at the beach shack where Jack and Melissa first met. And they're back there to chat once again. This is where things get really confusing. She feels so guilty for dragging Jack and Uncle Elmer's business into this mess. And she's like, I deceived you, and I understand if you never want to talk to me. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, we're making money. There's tits everywhere. Like, what are you apologizing for? It's like, I can't believe I did this to you. He's like, I really don't understand what you're apologizing for. And
cue montage, Jack and Melissa start fucking.
Well, it's a Bert Hardin song starts playing. Bert Hardin-esque. It's actually New Haven. They start playing Part of Me. Slow ballad. Bert Hardin style.
This ballad was part of me. Now I'm going to make it part of you.
This piano-driven rock ballad's a part of
the
me.
The car wash is a part of me.
And so they do it for like a 5-minute montage. And that's a pretty... trying to think of the right adjective here.
Softcore?
Yeah.
It was pretty softcore.
Yeah, you see pretty much everything but penetration.
Yeah.
I actually think they're doing it. I think he's fucking her.
You think so?
Yeah.
Again, if George Buckflowers is on Twitter, if only.
Granted, I was 3 steel reserves in at that point, so I just thought.
George, were Jack and Melissa actually doing it in the Seaside Shanties? The fuck is that? What are you talking about? He had no memory of this movie.
No, actually, it's like, I fought like hell to keep that scene in.
Well, they screw like hell for 5 minutes. It's by far the most sexual out of both movies. The most intense.
How unrealistic is that? 5 minutes? Who is this guy? Give me a Bert Hardin soundtrack, man. Apparently that turns you into friggin' Stallion. 5 minutes. Set some unrealistic expectations.
Next time, cue up a little New Haven. See what happens. They make good beer, too, New Haven.
Yes, they do.
In fact, speaking of the Devils, Shake City performed the next song, Hot Love, which plays over yet another 5-minute music montage.
Oh God, the movie wasn't over yet?
Of the topless and bottomless Sudsanistas posing on cars. Oh, this is when they start dumping pitchers of water and beer all over themselves. And that one chick with the phallic hose, she keeps putting this garden hose between her legs like a dick and like squirting people with it. What was up with that? What? And a weird thing, she'd take it between her legs and like aim it up at her own face. That was just weird.
That's what you're questioning about this movie?
It's just pretty much that over and over again. Just the chicks and...
it's got Melissa over there dancing on the hood of a car with her little Kelly Kapowski hair. What are you supposed to do?
Hey, good eye. Good eye.
Nancy and I were discussing Save by the Bell earlier today. But yeah, I guess it was one of those things where you're like, hey, we're going to film you for like 10 minutes. Just take this hose and do some stuff with it. It's like, What else can I
do? What can you do?
Jeremy's like, all right, we'll use that. Again, what are we doing with our lives here, boys?
Great things. We're doing great things.
Look at this. Look how many pages of notes I've... I could have been...
Half those are just about the guy in the red Speedo.
Well, I'd say well over half. Well, if you're counting my logarithms and my drawings. Logarithms?
It's like fan mail. Cade tried to write to that guy. Dear Tyler, I remember your performance in 1992's Bikini Car Wash Company.
I didn't think anything could get worse than laying in this bed dying of AIDS. I got a letter from this asshole.
Why is everyone dying of AIDS? Has anything to do with this? Couldn't some of that a natural death of cocaine abuse?
Oh no, there were some cocaine deaths. You're good at the IMDb stuff. Did any of these people ever? Did we ever see them again, other than like in smut mags and porn?
No, that's pretty much all it was.
Anti-AIDS commercials.
Actually, Uncle Elmer went on to win a Golden Globe Award
for his work with children.
You know, Uncle Elmer actually started out with Russ Meyer movies.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff in the 70s. He needed the money, apparently.
Imagine that. Well, speaking of Uncle Elmer, he shows up and announces that he's miraculously cured of his sneezing problem. His allergies are gone. Turns out he was allergic to his underwear.
Go figure.
But now he's begun wearing edible underwear, Cade style, and the problem's all gone. The only problem is if you wear them for more than a day or two, they don't taste very good.
Oh, God. Speaking of doesn't taste very good, hand me another can of the Shandy piss.
Sure you don't want to get it?
Just give me the piss. I'm devoted to the things I've done for podcasting.
Exactly.
I'm right. Devoted.
Great.
I'm gonna give it there. I'm gonna give this
Cody Shandy.
Yes, please.
I'm gonna give the Shandy its fair shot.
What's wrong?
Shandy-tastic.
I promise we're not gonna do any more Shandies on the show.
You've made lots of promises. Yeah,
look at it. It's like I'm pouring silt and seawater into this glass.
It does have a seawater type of. Now you mention it.
Hey, now I'm going to be consumed by a flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
You were headed that way anyway, weren't you?
Where was this brewery out of?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Chippewa Falls.
Okay. I believe it's our first Wisconsin beer.
Perhaps you should have paired it with some strong cheeses.
Delicious.
Somebody
cheese.
Was supposed to bring a cheese tray, Cody.
I get some bratwurst right over here.
Speaking of cheese, so Elmer's eating his underpants now and everything's fine.
Gross.
But he's so happy from not sneezing anymore and all the money this place is raking in that he promises to have everyone drop what they're doing and come back next summer and make him a bunch of money again.
Cue montage 487.
Why would you just keep this going year round?
Yeah, no doubt. The weather
doesn't
change.
It's going to get down to the 60s in December.
Is
Jack going to go back up to Iowa to his boring, like, it's a bank teller and, like,
no,
May 1st.
He's supposed to be, he's a college student.
That dude's a college student?
Yes, a 35-year-old college student.
Was that?
I remember him saying that at the beginning, he was a college student.
I'm a college student.
Well, it's like up the creek. That dude was like a 35-year-old college student.
Yes, he was a reject who had been in college way too long.
Yeah, this guy's supposed to be Lewis from Revenge of the Nerds, but Melissa was no Betty Giles. I would take Melissa in a heart.
Melissa was awesome.
Melissa was a woman.
She was beautiful.
She was the penthouse. She wasn't Playboy, she was penthouse.
Now I understand. It's
she was
Kelly Kapowski hair.
Dude,
yeah.
She had Kelly Kapowski hair. Good call.
That was the first thing. When I saw her, I was like, damn. I am... liking Melissa.
Did you guys stick around for the end credits to the very end credits?
Nope.
Oh, so you watch your Marvel movies to the little scene at the end.
Yeah, because there's an actual scene. Was there a scene at the end of this?
They revealed some very interesting information at the end of it, yes.
Like what? What's so interesting?
At the end, did you guys notice throughout the film there was that weird kind of static-y swipe transitioning between scenes?
Yes.
Kind of
I do
blurry.
Remember that, yes.
Okay. Well, they showed that blurry little transition. They freeze-framed on it.
but I cannot remember if I watched the end credits or not.
And they were like...
The doctor had had his end credits for the day at that point.
They inform us that that editing transition is called a swish pan. Because the swish of the car wash. And they say this. The filmic version of a... Is it saccadic eye movement?
Okay.
Taken from the French word saccade, meaning flick of a sail. The imperceptible blurring that occurs as the eye shifts from one object to another. So they drop some film knowledge on your ass after the end credits. When did Spike Lee ever do that?
Wow.
It was too little too late.
They took this movie...
I was about to say.
Montage 503, let's bring in some film knowledge.
Swish pan, baby.
Swish pan.
And you better believe I'm going to be using that somewhere. We just got to get ourselves into a car wash and get some swishing footage.
Yeah, I get Nancy, myself into a banana hammock.
Doctor gets in there and starts sponging himself off.
I can do some things with the garden hose.
Is that the word we're going to be using now for the next five podcasts? Swish pan.
Swish pan. Well, they seem very proud of it to where they pointed it out at the Chris movie.
Or maybe it was just the guy. George, but hey, I just found something out. It's called a swish pan. We're going to use it just ridiculous amounts. And montage.
What we gotta do is George.
I want montages and swish pans.
Well, that's the end of the Bikini Car Wash Company. It's safe to say we all enjoyed that.
Yes.
Tits and Nips way better than Bikini
Summer. Yeah, I
liked
it way better than the first one.
I have no interest in going to see Bikini Summer 2, no. Or there is a 3.
That's
kind of a letdown. I really saw
potential
for Bikini Summer.
I was
Summer.
Really pumped for Bikini Summer.
They had all the characters there,
all the makings of a
but I mean, they didn't. Nothing connected.
They had all the makings of a piece of shit.
I will tell you this.
Well, like I said, they had
fulfilled.
They had the various that. Tropes. It was all there.
It was all there, and they couldn't do it.
No one involved with the film could spell or define tropes, however.
And so. Bikini Car Wash took just a load
Bikini
of
Car
crap
Wash. They were shooting. They were shooting tropes all over the place.
I'm out.
For you guys listening at home, there. If you're looking for a movie that takes the
for
best...
For you listening at home, I'm sorry.
So sorry. I'm so damn sorry. If you want to take the best of these two movies and that just pure...
The best.
Tits and ass aesthetic, but mesh it with...
I'm sorry.
Mesh it with characters that you cared about and did stuff, I would think Spring Break would be a perfect example of...
Fuck it.
Go see Spring Break, because Spring Break is every problem that you guys are having with these movies.
Yeah,
it still keeps the core nudity and sex and all that, but it actually incorporates it really well with, you know,
a soul.
Yeah, it's got a soul to it.
A narrative.
It's got a soul. It's got a narrative. It actually has hired a cinematographer. there was catering on set.
They didn't use that dishpan maneuver. Is that what it was? Oh, swish pan. Swish pan. Sorry.
Swish pan. Although they had to have dishpan hands after dancing in that car wash for hours. I imagine they did not go home at night and take a shower.
No.
We're so clean. My vagina's been marginalized. I don't even know what that is. Wait, that's a dry cleaning. That's not a car wash thing, is it?
Okay.
Cody, what's marginalizing?
More importantly, what's vaginal marginalization? Is that like vaginal rejuvenation?
One of those things you pay for extra.
I have my vagina marginalized.
Like, for an extra $5, we'll help get the bugs off your
please. You want to get the undercoating.
The undercoating.
Oh, good God.
Would you like an air freshener down there? Please. Pine tree. They did not do anything with air fresheners.
They should have.
Maybe. Some of these jokes. The ones in that van. Oh, remember that weird thing where they were on their way to an old folks home for some reason? We're going to be late to the old folks home, but we got to get our van washed. I don't know. It's too late to backtrack into subplots and...
subplots.
It's much,
right.
It's much too late. But yeah, I think there's a definite... discernible difference between these films and the ones we love, the other ones. What's your favorite TNA flick, Nelson?
Ooh, Spring Break is a good one. That's definitely a good
favorite.
Example.
Love it. Sean S. Cunningham, the creator of Friday 13th.
We mentioned Up the Creek and Hot Dog. Have to think about that. I know we threw a couple of Porky's references, but there's not a whole lot of... That's just more of a raunchy comedy.
Yeah.
As far as...
And I would have to go, like, you know, breaking out, like, Hard Bodies or...
Screwballs.
Yeah. Screwballs was a good one.
Hard Bodies. Again, though, Hard Bodies had a heart.
Yeah. Yes, it did. Well, now, see, the problem with, like, the car wash really reminded me, like... Well, these two, if you merge these two together, you basically end up with kind of, like, Malibu Bikini Shop. Young Bruce Greenwood.
Okay.
Some others.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's good.
What you have to like with Screwballs is they have a character named Charity Bush. And then they have a sequel to Screwballs, Loose Screws.
Yeah, Loose Screws.
Where four 34-year-old guys who are supposed to be juniors in high school get sent to summer school at the...
Thanks, Ralph Macchio.
At the Coxwell Academy.
Yeah.
Where the dean is Miss Mona Lott.
I think I actually
What was the Macchio one where he's on Hot Campus or...
Was it Up the Academy?
Up the Academy with Stacey Nelgin from Halloween 3. Would you guys consider Revenge of the Nerds a TNA flick?
Man, that's borderline, but I don't think I would.
What about Private School?
Private School?
One with the...
Yes.
And Phoebe Cates.
Yeah. Oh, Phoebe Cates.
That's kind of... It's
right there. It shows enough... But that, once again, there's one actually that has production value.
Yeah.
Well, same with Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, these are studio films that had some, you know, some budget behind them that... And Spring Break did not. That was a truly independent production, but it comes across on a much bigger scale. Folks, there's so many good ones. You're going to... For every, you know, Spring Break or Screwballs, you're going to have to wade through a Bikini Summer.
I'm actually surprised that we're not naming more of them.
We went through a phase of...
I think because when we were younger, all it took was just TNA, and then now we're like...
Yeah.
It needs to have a soul to it.
Hamburger is a big one.
I mean, once you get a little bit more knowledgeable about the industry and about, you know, the craft of storytelling, I mean...
I think the great ones that you remember as a kid are the ones that had a story to it. Like Zapped.
Yeah.
You remember the teacher's... You know, top.
Oh, Zapped Again.
Zapped Again is one of, you know, we'll go on record, superior to.
Oh, yeah.
Much superior sequel. Nobody can see it because there's no DVD release or video on demand. When there is, the minute there is, we're doing it on the show. Same with Hamburger. Those are probably our two.
Those are two
of
classics.
My top five,
yeah, definitely.
But we can't discuss them because there's, you have to watch them illegally, and TNCC does not.
I mean, if you don't use it, it's going to end up like this gherkin over here.
Actually, Hamburger, I believe, is available full on YouTube.
But it's someone just uploaded it, and we only watch it if some money's going to the filmmakers.
I did not realize that made it illegal.
Yeah. I want to do Hamburger so bad, because I think it's one of those movies that people need to know about, and we would have much fun on that movie.
Oh, man.
It stars Dick fucking Buckus in a TNA movie, man. But... One day, maybe.
We reserve the right to few serviced assholes like you.
How can you forget Magneto Jones?
Oh. I can get you laid, brother!
All right, that's enough.
So don't go see Bikini Summer. Save your money.
Yep.
And rent the Bikini Car Wash Company.
Bikini Car Wash.
It was a fun flick.
George Buck Flowers.
You know what? Maybe some money from you renting it goes to George Buck Flowers' estate.
It's an estate.
And that's an estate I'm willing to throw some money at.
Oh, what was that fucking movie? RSVP.
Yes.
That was a good one. Stewardess School.
Ah.
Virgin High.
Now
they're all coming out. Stewardess School startled Don Most.
I just remember Virgin High had the... Virgin High had the classic line... What are we waiting for, bro? Let's run in there and slip up all the poo tag.
Donnie.
That one had another good one, too. Your organ is... The couple just had sex. Like, your organ is so small. Well, baby, I didn't know I'd be playing in a cathedral.
That was RSVP.
Oh, was that RSVP?
Yeah.
I used to get them confused. When I first got my first laser disc player in high school, the only ones I could afford, they had like a $10 Laserdisc bin, and they were all just TNA flicks.
Yeah,
so we'd come over to my house, and we'd watch Steward of School, Virgin High. Virgin High had a Burt Ward from Batman and Robin in it.
The other one from RSVP is where the guy's working at the bar and the chick slaps him and he's like, what happened? She wanted a cocktail, so I told her one.
See, it's funny. We watched that, what, 20 years ago?
At least.
You still remember that?
Yeah.
Me too. I love these movies.
Your organ's just too big. I didn't know I'd be playing in a cathedral.
Had to use that several times myself. So, Tut, let's go around the table. Beer, thumbs down. Not your
thumbs down.
Not from you.
Nope.
Cigar.
Meh. Yeah.
Thumbs even.
Yeah. I just wish it had a little bit more of that strength throughout the entire thing.
And I got the sense maybe movies, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't
Menzie,
into
beer,
it.
Thumbs down.
Beer, thumbs down. Cigar, okay. Bikini Summer Stank. Bikini Car Wash Company, winner.
Beer, I loved it.
Okay.
Dug it. Cigar, I gotta go with Tut. It's just, meh.
That's no thumbs down on the cigar, but he's...
The flavor kicked in, but you're like, I got exactly like three puffs of good flavor.
Exactly.
And it really, I'm in the last third now, and it really has come, that strength has helped it out so much.
It really
but
has.
But it's just like, well, you, but that kills it. Like, all right, now that's good.
Wait, and I'm done.
It'd be like if the Bikini Car Wash Company had one montage at the very end. Why'd you fucking dick me around for an hour? Like, give it to me the whole... They did. They gave me a montage from the beginning.
Cue montage 807.
I want to find the Bikini Car Wash Company of cigars, damn it. I want to be... I want every puff to be a five-minute montage.
And I got to agree with Mincy. Bikini Summer, yeah. Car Wash, awesome.
All right. Well, much like at the end of... and I'll go the beer. I'll give it a meh. Cigar, a meh. Bikini Summer.
Thought you were liking the beer.
I didn't give it a thumbs down.
He just wants to add vodka to it.
I wouldn't drink it. I really wish we had some vodka. I might add some different beers to it after the microphone's turned off tonight. I'm somewhat of a scientist when it comes to...
Here he comes in with the science.
Well, I'm all for an experiment in the name of science.
You got an extra pair of those glasses?
I do.
I knew you did. But Bikini Car Wash Company, I really liked. I had fun with that one. So much like at the end of Running Man, when we were depressed, I'm like, we're doing titty movies next time. Next show, we will be doing Steven Spielberg's Munich. Double feature of that and Schindler's List. We need to bring this party down to a screeching halt.
I will not be making that podcast.
Exactly.
Are you sure that wasn't Munch It and Schindler's Fist?
What did I say? Yes, we'll be watching Munch It. And exclamation point. Munch It.
I will be making the next podcast.
And Schindler's Fist. And Indiana Jones and the Ass Crusade. What was the other one?
Starring Liam Nice Ones. Well, this is a trilogy. There's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Poontang, Indiana Jones and the Ass Crusade, and Raiders of the Lost Ass. Everyone knows about the Indiana Boner trilogy.
No, we're not going to do any serious movie. Well, if it strikes us, is poignant, we'll do it. I do have some ideas for next show. I think it can be fun. You guys will be the first to know. But we also have some really good cigars lined up for the next few shows. Thanks to our friends at Famous, they've hooked us up. We're loading the coffers. I don't know if the FDA is going to shut us down as far as. Cigar samples for review. It's far too soon to tell, but they're doing a good job of getting us set up. So we'll do that. We're gonna do a manly beer next time.
Good.
Yeah.
And screw the FDA, Mincy. Why'd you say that?
Did you call me a psycho?
Am I in some kind of trouble here?
Do you probably Bobby Canova?
We need a lawyer.
She'd be a great lawyer to have.
Yes. Yes, she would.
Dump a bucket of water on her and everything just goes tits up.
On her way to the courthouse, I just have to stop and vacuum the carpet in my car. Like I said, our shows are going to get more regimen here. We went through a thing with Cats Fest and New Kids and all sorts of weird stuff. But thanks to the doctor and
We've been trying to keep content, new content coming your way. Keep it up, buddy.
We'll do.
Really like the film reviews.
Tell you what's on the docket here soon. I am a big fan.
You hear that? Doc.
Doc.
On the doctor's docket. I'm a big fan of the first two Purge movies, so I will absolutely be seeing the third Purge movie.
You have been telling me I need to watch these
Purge
movies.
I can't believe you have not seen those two, especially the second one.
Is the second one good? I've seen the first one.
You said the second one was Carpenter-esque.
Yes, definitely. There's an escape from New York kind of...
Which one's the second one? Is that Anarchy?
The first one's with Ethan Hawke, where it's the home invasion kind of.
Right.
The second one, Anarchy, is where they're actually out in the streets during the Purge.
You see the Purge as it's
yes.
going down.
I've
heard this one's even better. Like, this is one of the few series that gets better and better every...
Absolutely looking forward to checking that out. That'll be on the docket.
Well, then, the docket.
On the doctor's docket.
And then check out TNCC's website, TuesnightCigarClub.com, for all the doctor's reviews. Let us know what you think. I implore of you, do us a favor and go over to iTunes if you like listening to us. Get on there and leave us a review. We don't see enough of them. I also want to, real quick, I forgot to give a shout out. Last episode of the Arnold Radio News, they spent like the last 30 minutes, I don't know if you guys got a chance to check it out, talking about us. They really enjoyed
it. What a bunch of assholes we all are.
Hate us. They really talk some trash. They really enjoyed our Friday 13th Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yep.
And they were like, you know, only those guys over there at Tuesday Night would take the worst movie in the series and tear it apart in their own special way. And I think he even said something like, that podcast is so good for, you know, I spent a lot of time in traffic and I can start it and, you know, 5 days later I can still... we last people like 2 weeks of commuting with our shows. I think tonight might actually be a shorter one. For a double feature, I think where are we at, boys?
We're hitting 3 hours.
So it's a shorter episode. But I want to thank Arnold Radio News and Arnold fans because they showed us some love and that was really cool. So go check them out. They're back in. They kind of took a little break too and they're pumping stuff out. Arnold's got a new movie he's working on and they're on top of it as always. And they're good guys and they showed us some love. So back at you, buddy.
Cool.
Amen.
Facebook, love to see you over there. Tuesday Night Cigar Club.
Subscribe to YouTube.
Subscribe to YouTube.
Maybe you'll see some free previews that.
We're having some technical glitches. We actually put up the last
going
episode,
public
before we had Keith's credits on there and all that. So we took it down. We're gonna put it back up. As always, you're gonna be able to watch every episode in full on YouTube, so you can see these handsome faces. Why listen to us when you can watch
check
us
out all this videos. Eye candy. This is fueled by the big loaded patties.
You and your big fucking loaded patties.
Oh, you glutton. That's right.
Or as Dick Butkus was saying, hamburger, you tub of crap.
You tub of crap.
And speaking of Keith Ahow, go to KeithAhow.com. He's the best in the business. And if you're in Central Texas, stop by O'Brien's Irish Pub in historic downtown Temple, Texas. Get their app. You guys still the reigning champions of live music in Central Texas.
Thus far, yes.
Got the trophy up on the bar. You guys are just killing it.
We're doing our best.
So go in there and mention our names, and that'll get you what?
Absolutely nothing but derision and scorn.
Disdain and piss in your drinks.
Maybe some rotten vegetables thrown at you.
That sounds about right. But no, stop by there.
I got a warm flat beer with your name on it.
Any other plugs you guys want to know?
Yeah, hit up our boy FritzBeerMusic.com.
Of course, I mentioned earlier, but we can never shortchange Fritz. He's with us in spirit. I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but he was supposedly going to make a trip to Texas and wanted to sit in with us.
That would be fucking awesome.
Our buddy Reb Java is going to be traveling down and sit in with us. Might be doing a live show from a very exclusive and hard to obtain entry to location.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Well,
so wear your chainmail underpants. No, that we might have a really cool thing. Also, real
nothing
quick,
exclusive about that. Or hard dinner.
We received our first non cigar alcohol submission. Honest Roast Coffee submitted a blend they've been working on, a coffee blend that specifically pairs with cigars. So we got a really cool show. I'm cooking up some ideas with how to feature that on the show. I told them it's really hard for us because A, we never see each other before noon, and we never see each other when we're not drinking. So it's going to be a hard thing for coffee to work its way in.
We could Irish up that
Irish
coffee.
Up, yeah.
Well, no, I think that betrays the whole idea of...
I'm going to have multiple cups in those hours. So the first cup...
The morning podcast.
It'll be good.
You know what? God. This coffee needs some shandy in it.
Did you what Yax just said? The morning podcast.
It's just an hour of this.
Huh?
What'd you do last night? Did you call me a psycho? I didn't say anything to you. What? We could probably work bacon into the morning podcast. That would impress your CrossFit friends.
Give me a bacon wrap cigar.
Well, there'd have to be some sort of breakfast spread in order for us to survive.
Yeah, we need some kind of buffet. So we'll be doing that show from Golden Corral. Excuse me, ma'am. Could you have your barista grind these beans for us?
What?
Never mind. We'll be in the corner of No Hope talking normal.
This whole place is a corner of No Hope.
Actually, I do think Golden Corral trademarked Corner of No Hope way before we did. Oh, jeez. You just sit there in the parking lot and watch those fucking cattle shuffle in there and out. Doctor, you shouldn't say those things.
I did recently attend a Texas Rangers game, and when someone hit a home run, they handed out free coupons for a Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's.
Boom!
Well, we can do a show at Denny's.
I've got two free coupons.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Denny's? Curly?
Curly? I expect this kind of talk at the Denny's, but not here.
We'll figure it out. We're going to do some fun stuff. So stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in. Boys, we good?
We are.
Ready to close this joint out, drink 50 more shandies?
Absolutely. Wait, we have that many?
Oh, God.
We do need vodka.
Thank you. May the wings of liberty never lose a feather. Sayonara, motherfuckers.
To learn more about the time I forked a top-heavy, plus-size bikini babe in Bert Hardin's swimming pool, inspiring him to write the seminal soft rock piano ballad, Who's That Asshole Screwing My Sister in My Fucking Swimming Pool? Please. Download my new ebook, 1989, One Man's Super Jizzy Summer, by Keith A. Howell, wherever horrible autobiographies that may or more probably may not make you horny are sold. In the meantime, to learn more about the cigars and libations enjoyed on tonight's episode, you can visit www.famous-smoke.com, www.caldwellcigarco.com, and www.liney.com. That's LEINIE.com, liney.com. For more on O'Brien's Irish Pub, the live music leader in Central Texas, please visit O'BriensTemple.com and download their free smartphone app, where you'll find full beer listings including over 40 on tap, menu information, and a calendar of upcoming live events. To listen and purchase music heard on tonight's program, check out www.fritzbeermusic.com. Thank you for listening to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast. This is Keith A. Howell saying, until next time, friends, unless we see you sooner at the pub, so keep it smoky. And for God's sake, keep it ballsy as well.